This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Are you ready for me? I know I look good, but there's always room for improvement. All I want for Christmas is my liposuction. I want some lipo, honey. I want you to put it all over my body. All I want for Christmas is my cheek implants and my chin implant. And let's see, my butt should be risen. Some parts are fake. Some parts are plastic. Gravity is a bitch.
Tell me about it.
But baby, I got my secret weapon.
And what's that, girl?
Park Avenue plastic surgeon.
Woo! All I want for Christmas is my ribs removed. I want my ribs removed. I don't need them no more. All I want for Christmas is my cheek implants. Throw in a derma peel while you're at it. Lifted. I want my face lifted. I want my face snatched. All I want for Christmas is my face snatched so I can be oh so marvelous. Honey, I can use it all over my body. No, I ain't got nothing against it. Honey, I've been sucked, plucked, cinched, pinched, pulled, snatched. Baby, I have had every procedure done. And as long as there's a doctor on Park Avenue, I'll be looking good. Oh, yeah, honey, I'm looking good. And let me tell you something. This Paul's gonna be fresh.
Fresh as a daisy.
Some parts are fake. Some parts are plastic. Some even say that I'm a phony. But I've dipped into the fountain of you. And that ain't no baloney. All I want for Christmas is my
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the...
Sorry, folks, we were listening to something else off air.
I was previewing some music selections for later on this evening and one for next month.
When we get stay tuned for next month.
Wait, when we get done with all this Christmas crap.
Oh, my goodness.
But coming up a little later, we're going to be playing something from the Wet Spots.
The Wet Spots.
Yes.
Oh, should I be afraid?
Be afraid.
Okay.
Let's put it this way, ladies and gentlemen. If you thought it was bad enough when we played Christmas songs that had the word lyrics, candy canes of each other's butts.
Yes.
Wait till you get a Christmas song with the word Crisco in it.
Oh, boy. Must be the leather segment tonight.
And I ain't talking cookies. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
That is, unless you're offended by any of the Christmas songs we were playing, and then we're dead air.
I see.
Hold on. I got to do this every time. Stop that. Reset that.
Okay.
The damn countdown keeps restarting and everything, so.
See this lovely gold thing I have?
Oh, no.
He's speechless.
He's got this huge gold thing. What happened to Stanley? And I figured if that would have happened, it would have been a gold-plated butt plug.
Well, you see, we got an award from Theater Suburbia this evening. Tonight was their annual, their 34th annual, I believe that I heard right, Phony Awards.
Ah.
You know, it's theater, and so they can't do Tony Awards, so they do Phony Awards. They create these lovely, lovely awards from scraps of wood. And
nice bevel.
Yes. Well, our award, you notice, we got the Naked Man.
Oh.
And it's all covered in gold and lots of glitter. You'll notice the glitter because it's all over the studio.
Well, yeah, and also the way we got covered there, it's like I was like watching a Japanese porn. It's all pixelated at the groin.
You noticed that.
Yeah. Damn you, X-Tube. Oh.
No, that was Doris. Anyway, this is an award. Now, they give them out for all kinds of crazy,
crazy things.
Uh-huh.
This is now for all of those poor, unsuspecting people who say, if you need any help, let me know. And then they get rooked into holding book and prompting for actors who have not learned their lines, build sets, stick labels on mailouts, paint the floor, paint special scene backgrounds, award. And that went to After Hours. Because we have Theater Suburbia in for every one of their productions. But Theater Suburbia goes back to the community because for every show that they have, every play that they do a special Thursday night benefit.
Uh-huh.
And at least twice a year, the benefit goes to a gay organization,
okay.
A gay 501c3 organization who is in need. And what that means is that they contact the organization and they say, okay, we're going to do this benefit, and you have the house, so you can either sell tickets or and keep the money, or give them away to people who have given you money during the year, however you want to do it. But we're providing the theater and the performance and everything for free.
Yeah, that's nice.
And it's very nice. And so, and the next time Theater Suburbia will be on will be the first weekend in January for their brand new production.
You'll be gone that weekend, won't you?
No.
Oh.
I will be gone the second weekend in January.
Oh, you're only getting 1 week out of them this year?
I will be gone the second weekend in January and the third weekend in January. And we'll see after that.
Oh, lovely. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most notice I've ever received.
Yeah, usually you
like to thank the Academy for this award? Advance notice? And the winner is Jimmy Carper.
Hey!
Have you got the forbidden list already?
Oh, yeah, I haven't handed him the list of what music we played last week.
Oh, no, I don't want to look at it right now.
I left after Chicken Hawk.
No,
that means you left quite early, because that's when I started the Hatch segment.
I have it in here. I have it already.
Oh, that's right.
I haven't looked at it.
Yeah,
I don't want to look at it until after the show.
I played Chicken Hawk is Coming to Town to open the Hatch segment.
Great.
Hey, Brendan wasn't here to stop me, so.
I heard about that.
That's his fault.
Yes.
By the way, the music we started tonight's show off with.
Yes, what did we hear?
The Go-Go Boys, Boys to the World.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by RuPaul, All I Want for Christmas. It's plastic surgery.
Yes. Yes. By request.
Yes.
By Robert T. Chief, right? Yes.
Yes, and he's the reason why we're playing this other Happy Little Ditty by the Wet Spots
later.
Oh,
boy, I can hardly wait for that one.
I love the look on your face when I finally found out what buttons to push to get the computer to work.
Yes. Oh. Anyway, something's going on in the community before we bring on our After Hours Quickie, who's sitting in the next room.
Yeah, there he is.
Yes, he is. Okay. Tonight, Sunday, at 6 p.m. is the official lighting of the Mary's Christmas tree. That is an annual tradition here in the Montrose. In past years, it's been a live tree that they've left up until it fell off the roof. But they've modernized. Now it's a 12 to 15 foot artificial tree that the boys were putting up yesterday. And
strangely, they make sure it's the tree that doesn't fall down and not the roof.
Yeah, really. but anyway, be by Mary's at 6 o'clock for the lighting of the Christmas tree and a very short show hosted by Miss Mary's. And
naturally.
Then at 7 o'clock, hightail it over to the BRB for the PWA Holiday Charities Christmas show happening there from 7 till whenever, you know. Actually, I'm going to be in a production number in this thing. It's going to be not real pretty. not real pretty.
So you better be careful because, you know, even though vegetables are quite high, I did find pineapples 10 for $10 today.
Great. Oh, boy, the Christmas pineapple. I can hardly wait.
Well, you know, instead of throwing tomatoes at you, those are $5 a pound.
Oh,
you know?
I see. Ooh.
Pineapple's quicker. It'll get you ready for Hawaii.
Great. I'll just turn around and catch it.
Ouch.
Well, they aren't that big, so, yeah. We'll throw it like a lawn dart. See if it sticks.
Now, if you can make it to the PWA Head Holiday Charities tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the BRB, the Brazos River Bottom at 2400 Brazos, then there is Making Music with Pride. The Houston Pride Band is having their Christmas concert tomorrow night, or tonight, Sunday night, the 9th, yes. At Resurrection MCC, located at 2025 West 11th Street at 7 o'clock, same time, December the 9th. Doors open at 6:30, and admission is free. Cool, huh?
Well, the other stuff has alcohol.
Oh.
Unless you're serving wine.
Yes, but you have to pay.
No, they're Methodists. They only
you have to pay for
it. No, but those are not Methodists. I mean, they probably only do the grape juice stuff.
I don't know what they do over there. I have no idea.
I don't know. Every time I go to church, they offer me Kool-Aid to get
warm. I don't know. Anyway, let's see. A couple other things. ICOH, the Imperial Court of Houston, will be having breakfast later on this morning, 10 o'clock at Mary's. And if you have to have your, you know, you can't wait until noon to have that eye opener. Drop
by. Sake, buy your own bottle and take it home with you.
Well, it's too late now. It's after midnight. So stop by Mary's, have breakfast. At least you get some calories, and get your little Bloody Mary or whatever it is you want with that. And then on Wednesday, it's the Pixie Birthday Bash, celebrating ICOH December birthdays and kicking off Her Majesty's Empress's Jubilee. Empress Rose.
Yes.
Yes, Rose Smith.
I don't know, I still have a hard time seeing her as a woman. I love the Photoshop work they did on that photo of her. So
have you seen her butt? That's all woman.
To. Yeah, but you know, when she was in the evening, when they first put her in a gown.
Yeah.
And the evening gloves for that one advertisement?
Yeah.
Whoever did the Photoshop work on that to put her head on whoever's body that was.
Oh, stop. Stop.
Probably with Steven, you know. I think he does that kind of thing.
No. In fact, I'm going to hear, you know, she listens to this show, and I'm going to hear about it for that butt jab there, so to speak. And
Jimmy, we're going to have to put you over to the bye segment if we're talking about butt jabs on Daddy Rose.
Stop!
Or do I need to pull up that song, What in the...
No. And that's happening at Wednesday at Mary's Naturally. Birthday and potluck at 8 o'clock in Jukebox Show to follow. And one more thing from ICOH, because the Imperial Prince and Imperial Princess, Christopher Prado, Cohen Cartier, Judy Reeves, present Goodbye 2007, Hello 2008, A Year in Review. New Year's Eve 2007, which is Monday, December 31st, at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas. Light Buffett at 7, and a show at 8-ish. And the show is open to any and all performers, blah, 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 blah. It'd be kind of a nice place and kind of inexpensive to go and celebrate New Year's Eve, have some entertainment, and Tony will be, you know, serving up the champagne toast at midnight, and ICOH will be providing the Black Eyed Peas. And you've got a couple of things going on over there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was inspired by our conversation about Daddy Rose. I was trying to find that song, Anal Sex.
Oh. Please, I'm in enough trouble already, okay?
That's what you get for being a part of the club. Southern Country Houston's annual holiday party will be on December 13th, 2007, at 7:30 at the BRB.
Burb.
The event It's the event of the year. Each year, the Feast of Food grows and grows and grows.
Ooh, food, huh?
So that's
13th.
Thursday.
Thursday. Oh, that's a good day.
Thursday. GLBT night for the community center at a new location will be at the 369 Oriental Bistro.
Yeah, that's a fun place.
They need to be a block down.
That's just...
They need to be one block east or one block west of that.
Well, that's just right across the street from Mary's.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, more appropriate would have been, you know, 469 or 269, not 369.
I see.
It's not divisible.
I don't whatever.
It will be held by the community center on December 11th.
Yes.
The restaurant is located at 1009.
Westernheimer.
So it doesn't even have three. How do they come up with 369? Oh, well.
I don't know.
Tim, call, send me an email, let me know. The Montrose Boulevard Savings Shopping Center is half-price books and specs. Dinner's at 6:30. As always, there will be door prizes donated by Outsmart. Also, much of the work by artists who participated in the World AIDS Day Houston Art Exhibition are on sale at the Community Center. And you can find out more information on that and more events at the Houston GLBT Community Center at HoustonGLBTCommunityCenter.org. And
that's another New Year's Day bash going on that you have.
We don't use the word bash in our community.
Gotcha.
Something about that word just kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Thought you spent enough time with Q Patrol to know better.
Okay.
I hope you've drawn a big festive red circle on around January 1st on your 2008 calendar. That is the date, of course, of the inaugural Brenda Thomas Memorial New Year's Day Social, hosted by the Houston Transgender Unity Committee. The event continues a wonderful community tradition, the informal family-style open house that our friend and mentor Brenda hosted at her home on the first day of the year. The social will be on January 1st from 2 to 9 p.m. at the Houston GLBT Community Center. As Brenda did every year, we encourage people to stop by whenever they wish. So, put that button there.
Yes, what?
I pushed the button and heard a weird sound.
Yeah, well.
Like a computer sound.
For our after hours quickie this evening.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I guess that would be me.
Yeah.
Don't you love being referred to as a quickie?
Oh, you know what? It wouldn't be the first time.
Those were the days.
We have candidate for emperor for the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star.
Inc.
Of Houston, Inc.
Yes, thank you.
I think he's forgetting the ink part.
Doug Weiss.
Yes.
How you doing, Doug?
You know what? I'm doing great. It is a pleasure to be here again.
Good.
It really is.
Good.
I'm always excited to be on the radio anyway, but...
You have such a great voice for it.
You know what? Thank you very much.
You're
I
welcome.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
But we do have fun when we're here.
Yes, you do. And I, you know what? You have to have fun.
Yes.
You really do.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's part of what you're going to bring to the next reign. If you are elected emperor.
I certainly hope so.
A lot of fun.
Yes. I really believe in that. Mm-hmm. I believe not only in being able to raise money a dollar at a time when we do it through shows or other events, but I believe also in being able to have fun doing it. I try and do that with any of the performances I ever do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what draws people to be able to give that $1. And that $1, you know what, goes a long way.
Because if you're having a good time up on that stage, you're entertaining the people and they get real loose with their dollars.
Exactly. You know what? And that's kind of what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just about the fact that you're up there performing. It's about having fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, being able to draw maybe one extra dollar out of somebody who is like, well, he's not a drag queen. So, places is he doing up there? And then you bring out something that no one expects.
The guys have it a lot harder when they're up on that stage.
You know what?
Because the ladies, they've got the glitz and the gown and the hair and all of that. And they don't really even have to be talented. Just get up there and parade around. And it's something to look at.
And a lot of times that's true. But, you know, and you are correct in that the guys have got to bring something extra.
Uh-huh.
And I think at times I'm able to do that. Obviously, you know, you're going to touch somebody with a particular song like I did earlier this evening. I did a song called I'm Watching You,
mm-hmm.
or I've Been Watching You, or from it's country music, and somebody came up and said, you know what? You hit me. $2.
That's nice.
You know what?
That's nice.
You hit me with that song, and it's great. And that's what I try and bring. Every time I'm on the stage, and any time I am trying to do something different, that's what I'm trying to bring out in people.
Yeah.
I'm trying to bring out that, what are you doing different that is going to tempt me to be able to relate?
Not only that, but I think your idea of just demanding to have a good time is what, I mean, you're going to be the head of, if elected, you're going to be the head of a 501c3
mm-hmm.
volunteer organization.
Oh, exactly.
Which means, you know, people are members because they want to be, and you've got to have something to draw members in.
Well, precisely. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's not just a volunteer organization, but we also pay dues to have the privilege of volunteering.
There you go.
You know what? And that to me is the commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is saying to other people around you that I'm committed to making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm hoping to be able to achieve, making a difference. This organization has made a difference in my life in more ways than I could even begin to tell you right
now. Really?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And that's what I'm attempting to do by running as a candidate,
mm-hmm.
by hopefully being elected, by all of your listeners, by the community at large. Anyone who has a valid ID is welcome to vote, as long as their zip code ends, or begins, rather, with 77.
Yeah.
You're eligible. And
yeah, that's something we probably should have started out with saying. But, you know, you're running for emperor, but mm-hmm. it's the community who is voting to
exactly.
put you in office.
Exactly.
Everyone who is listening to us right now
is eligible to vote,
yes.
as long as they have a valid ID that says, I am in a 77 zip code.
Yes.
They're eligible
to
vote.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping to be able to get as many of those people out there as possible to the polling places.
Sure.
We have early voting at EJ's on January the 7th,
mm-hmm.
From 6 until 9. Regular voting is on January the 12th from 1 to 6. And in Galveston, for those down on the island.
Oh, yes.
You know what? We extend all the way down there.
Not even just Galveston, but the surrounding areas.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, anywhere that you are within the sound of our voices, as long as you have a zip code that begins with 77, come on down. We invite you to come down. Find out what we're about. Find out who the candidates are. We have posters up all over the place. I have posters down in Galveston. I have posters here in Houston. And believe me, your votes, it's not unlike a presidential election.
That's right.
Your votes do count.
Yes.
And they count for something. And not only do your votes count, but your voices count.
Yes.
The voices count a lot. I've been on a couple of different advisory boards for Legacy, as well as for...
Really?
Oh, yeah. As well as for Bering. Bering Omega, specifically the dental clinic.
Yes.
And believe me, voices are heard. If you are a client there, if you are interested in being a part of a voice that needs to be heard, they're willing to listen. And they're willing to do whatever and make whatever changes are necessary to be able to serve the community better, and not just the gay community. It goes beyond the gay community.
Oh, yes.
And that's the thing that I think people a lot of times miss out on. Because it's not just gay men, gay women. It's women, it's men,
yes.
It's children. It's people who Legacy Community Health Services has over 23 programs specifically geared to each segment of Houston, regardless of whether you have the ability to pay or not. They will not turn you away. But if you cannot pay, somebody has to.
Yes.
Because doctors are not free.
Yes.
Nurses are not free. Nurse practitioners are not free. Just the clerks, they expect to be paid.
They've got rent too.
Hello, don't we all? You know what? Social Security, disability comes into play for personal use. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's all fine and good. But on a disability grant salary, if you will,
yeah.
Doesn't always pay all the bills.
No.
I mean, come on.
We've talked about this so many times that, you know, folks on disability sometimes have to make the decision of, is it going to be medication or food?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's where Legacy can step in and say, you know what? Don't worry about that. We can help you. Well, you know what? The federal government can put some in and does. I mean, Legacy gets a great deal of their funding from the federal government.
But
the shortfalls.
Yes.
And believe me, there are shortfalls out there. The shortfalls is where we come into play.
And that's where the court comes in.
You better believe it.
Because I know that the rain this year is to Legacy.
Oh, exactly. Yes.
Or however they, you know, wherever they need it.
Exactly.
Wherever the shortfall is.
Exactly. Wherever they need, we will donate. And right now it's upwards of about $35,000 to $40,000.
That's very good.
Tonight we raised $230,000.
Uh-huh.
Bob Skinner had a show over at Tony's.
Yes.
He's candidate number four.
Mm-hmm.
I'm candidate number one. I had a show last night over at EJ's, and we raised $200 then.
Good.
So that's $430.
Just right there.
And you know what? That will actually, forgive the words, but on a retail level, pays for about, you know, five guys to have a male wellness exam that they can't afford to pay for. You know what? Five men can walk into Legacy tomorrow.
Because of the two shows you did.
Because of the two shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
And the thing of it is, it's two shows this weekend, but it's every weekend.
Exactly.
And
oh my
God. And some you raise, some of your shows raise a couple of $1,000.
We've had shows that have raised $2,500. I'm hoping if I step up to be emperor, and even if I don't, I've got a couple of ideas already in the works that may raise as much as, who knows, you know. But a couple of $1,000. Can you imagine how many men and women and or children that can be helped by that?
Yes. And it's not, like you said before, it's not just the gay community. I heard the statistics the other day that in Houston, 67% of all new HIV cases are gay or bisexual.
Exactly.
The other third is straight people.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah. And that's just from, like, either ignorance, needle.
Oh, yes.
You know, needle use.
That's right.
You know, if you're out there, you're an IV drug user, be careful.
That's right.
You know what?
Use
you can have fun if you
needle.
Want to, but doggone it. Go see somebody about it. See, that's one of the other things, too, about Legacy. They have free HIV testing at so many different locations.
Oh, they do.
You know what? You can go to the 611 bar. You can go over to the mining company.
You know the Midtown.
Go to Midtown spot.
Yes.
For crying out loud, yeah.
Yeah.
They have, free testing over there. I believe... You know what? You test negative. Test negative. Test negative. Test negative for 4 years. Test negative. And then stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? One of these days, something stupid that you may have done, and I say stupid in just a very loose term. I'm not calling anyone ignorant.
No, no, no.
But
condoms break.
But condoms break.
Yes.
You do something that maybe you shouldn't have.
That's right. You get too drunk.
And who knows what goes on when things like that happen.
Yeah.
But you do something, maybe it was 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You've tested negative for 5 years. You know what?
And then
it may catch up to you.
It may catch up to you.
And if it does... Where are you going to turn? If you're in a job that is very sensitive and you have sensitive people around you that are, you know, very germophobic, oh, believe me, I've worked with people like that.
Kindly you put it.
You know what? They begin to wonder when you start... experiencing things that are abnormal.
Uh-huh.
And maybe your GP, your general practitioner, doesn't necessarily understand and thinks being tested and you haven't been. You have no insurance on your current job and you're making a great salary, but the company you work for is so small, they just don't want to put the money or the energy into getting a group health plan.
Yes.
You know what? There are people out there like that. And believe me, when you find yourself in a situation where you can't even have the energy to get up to go to work,
yes.
You're going to be grateful for Legacy Community
Absolutely.
Health Services.
Absolutely.
Believe me. Believe me when I say that. I've known people in that position.
Mm-hmm.
And... I'm grateful for the opportunity that the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star of Houston, Inc. gives me every time I'm able to raise just $1 on a song that may or may not hit you in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dollar that the Empire didn't have before. That they have now.
Yes.
And it's a dollar that is going directly to Legacy, and it's a dollar that I know is going to be spent well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm about right now. That is what I'm about, because they have literally saved the lives of so many people. I know a lot of people over at Legacy very, very personally, and believe me, they not only enjoy their jobs like you do.
Yes.
You've got to have fun in your job. But they also take it very seriously.
They do take it seriously. Yes.
And I think that's the best part. They can have fun. And they take it seriously. Yeah. It's just like we do.
I admire those folks over there.
Oh, my gosh.
And so many of them are good friends, yes.
Mm-hmm, exactly. They are very good friends. And if you've, even if you're not positive. You know what? If you don't have the money to go see a doctor, go over to Legacy and see if they can't put you into some kind of a program where, you know what? They'll work on an operating, they'll work on a sliding scale.
They will.
You know what? And that is the key point.
Yeah.
You know what? They are there to serve the community.
Mm-hmm.
Gay, straight, bi, transgendered, whatever.
It doesn't matter.
They do it.
Yeah. Yeah, they serve the entire community.
Exactly.
With a slant on the Montrose.
Well, obviously. Sure. You know, but now they have a couple of other extended outreach.
Yes, they do.
Which is great. I'm so proud of them for that.
So, what are you going to do differently as emperor? You knew I was going to slip something in there.
You know,
I was going to knock you on
your
ass.
I'm going to try and bring a lot more fun back in.
Good.
I really am. We live, you know, when we're doing our thing, we live in a make-believe kingdom.
You
know what? And that's the best part.
That's the fun part of the organization.
Exactly. It's the fun part where you can make believe you are the ruler. But at the same time, it's a very serious position in terms of being able to bring back to the community something that they lack.
You and the Empress are actually co-presidents of the organization.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's why I said earlier, you know, every vote counts. You know, you cannot just sit back and say, oh, well, I rule. No, you can't. You have to work. And it's work.
And what other fundraising organization do you vote for the presidents?
Exactly. Exactly. There is no other organization where the actual community at large votes.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is also the fun part about it. Because you can get out there and have fun with people. You can say, you know what? I am wanting to make a difference. And have fun doing it. Be able to get out there and meet people and greet people that may not even know your face when you're talking to them. Your name with a face when you're talking to them.
Yes.
But they will make the difference.
Now, you've got posters up in bars.
I do.
So folks should look for that.
Yes.
And you soon will have one at the KPFT lobby.
I certainly will. You know what? I didn't even think about that. I feel so bad about that.
Because there are a lot of gay people here.
Exactly.
That work on straight shows. There are a lot of straight people who are, you know, very close to the gay community.
Exactly.
And things like this make a difference to them.
Exactly. And I really believe in bringing that straight community into those that support us. I mean, you know, those that, like you.
Well, yeah.
Like Chris said earlier, bash is not a good word. You know, those that will support us in our endeavors, I think is great.
Mm-hmm.
And those straight people out there that want to make a difference, that want to help.
Yes.
I think those are some of the people that we need to start drawing into.
You're right.
I mean, and that's where I really want to try and make a difference. Because it's not just the gay community anymore. It is the gay community, as well as the black community, as well as the leather community, as well as the transgender community. And the, you know, when you're watching TV on Sunday evenings, you see so many times for Extreme Home Makeover, so many people out there that are either, you know, families of HIV kids or any other disease. You know, St. Jude's is great. And like Children's Hospital and MD Anderson, those are all fine organizations. But who takes care of the HIVs?
That's right.
You know, and not just the adults, but the kids.
The kids, and that's the heartbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes me so angry when people keep talking about how HIV is so manageable. You know. I have had HIV for almost half my life. And let me tell you how unmanageable it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know,
believe me.
The side effects, the there's some days you just can't get out of bed. There's, you know, it's just, it sucks.
It's not
take a pill and climb a mountain.
Exactly.
You know, like you see in those damn ads.
Exactly. You know what? 20 years ago, there were people that I knew HIV positive and on their last leg.
Mm-hmm.
And they were taking 20 to 25 pills a day.
Yes.
Nowadays, it's not as tough as that.
It's not as tough. And the side effects are not as bad, but they're still there.
But they are still there. And they still have to be managed.
And for those of you out there who think that you can just, you know, HIV is no big deal, you can just take a pill. Let me tell you, when you turn HIV positive, your best friend will be diarrhea. Right off the bat, I'm going to tell you that.
Mm-hmm. you're talking...
So if that sounds icky to you, think again about putting that condom on that dick.
Jimmy, you're talking to the choir here.
I know.
No. Last year. It'll be 1 year ago on the 15th. I found out I was positive.
Oh, okay.
It was something that happened a long time ago. I could even pinpoint when it happened. And I've been with my partner for 7.5 years on Christmas Eve. And believe me, when it started happening, I knew it. When the symptoms started coming, I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like everything else that is kind of on the negative side of life. You want to ignore it, and you hope it goes away.
And it doesn't.
This doesn't go away.
No, not ever.
And... you know what? When Jimmy was talking a while ago about the diarrhea, I was in a job paying very good. I did not have health insurance. Legacy Community Health Services literally saved my life.
Uh-huh.
And that is the other reason. Because for 6 years, I've been helping to give $1 at a time to this organization, the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star of Houston, Inc. And they have been giving back to Legacy.
Yeah.
And I have seen my dollars at work.
So you know what I'm talking about.
I not only know what you're talking about, I've experienced what you're talking about.
That's even more important.
I want to make such a difference in this community. To be able to give back even more than what we've been able to do so far.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that this next reign, if I should succeed in being elected, that Legacy, for at least 1 year, doesn't have to worry about whether or not they're going to be able to help the next person.
Good. Your name is?
My name is Douglas Bouvier Weiss is the name I'm running under. I'm Doug Weiss. I am candidate number one for the position of Emperor 24. Please come out and vote.
And those voting dates again?
The voting dates again are January the 7th from 6 to 9 p.m. at EJ's, 2517 Ralph Street.
Very good.
And on Saturday, January the 12th, from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Legacy Community Health Services at 215 Westheimer.
Very good.
And down in Galveston, on the seawall, I think it's at 33rd, we're going to have voting down at Third Coast, Third Coast Bar. On the seawall in Galveston from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m.
On what date?
on January the 12th, the same night as... Yes.
Oh, okay.
So it's 1 to 6 here in Houston and 8 to 10 in Galveston.
So there's going to be a lot of people hightailing it down to Galveston.
It's going to be a real busy day, let me tell you. And I have a show coming up next Saturday.
You do?
I do.
Okay, tell us about it.
It's going to be at Tony's Corner Pocket.
I love that place.
You know what? I do too.
And 17 and West Dallas.
Yes. And that's going to be at 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
Please come out and support if you are willing and able. I would really appreciate it. Any performers in the community that want to come out and be a part of it,
yep,
please do. Lineup will start about 7:30. Hopefully, lineup will be finished by 8:15. You know, hey,
yeah, I know,
you
know how that goes.
Yeah, exactly. If it's not done by 8:15, it'll be done by 8:30 because the show's going to start on time. Yes. That's the one thing I really appreciate about doing shows.
Good.
And then on January the 4th, I'll have another show at EJ's at 9.
Great.
And again, an hour before is when lineup starts.
Okay.
So,
Doug, good luck.
Thank you so much,
and thanks,
Jimmy,
for being on After Hours.
You know,
honey,
what, Jim? I appreciate you having me here. I really, really do.
You bet.
I always enjoy having a conversation with you, regardless of
we
whether it's
fun
behind a mic or not.
We have fun.
We always have fun.
Okay, Chris is going to bring you some music, and we got the Leather Boys coming in with Leather Ties.
Yay.
Good evening. Welcome to Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert T. Thank you for joining us. This evening we have... Don't even start with me on that, because you do that, I will knock you... not going to say a word.
Knock you into next week.
Well, no. This evening I have two members of NLA Houston. They're going to be here for a little bit talking about the NLA Houston Toy Drive benefiting Thomas Street Clinic. I have our president of NLA Houston, Robert Helms.
Hello.
And we have the chairperson for the Toy Drive is Master Buzz Lawson.
Hello.
So talk to me, Robert, Buzz, about the Toy Drive and what y'all are doing with it.
Why don't you go ahead and start, Robert, since you are the president?
Oh, yeah, put it all on me. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Originally, the Toy Drive was started about 12 years ago by NLA to benefit AIDS Foundation Houston, back when AIDS Foundation Houston was still a grassroots organization. And for the past 12 years, we've been doing this, putting the boxes out, collecting toys, donating to AFH. And last year, we did... AFH was our beneficiary at the beginning, and then after the end of their toy drive, we continued on with Thomas Street Clinic being our second one. And this year, we have decided that Thomas Street Clinic is going to be our sole beneficiary. So we are now on our 13th or 14th year.
I think it's 13th.
13th year, yeah. 13th year.
Being new to the board, this is like my first year doing the toy drive, so that's why I wanted you to start, because you know the history. Jay and I, who are the two members at large on the board of NLA, are responsible for the toy drive, and we are going to actually be putting the boxes out tomorrow, coming to a bar near you.
So where are all the toy drive boxes going for the NLA toy drive for Thomas Street Clinic?
Well, I have a short list here. Actually, it's not very short.
No?
The Brazos River Bottom, George, which is on Fairview, 611, the Ripcord, Mary's, Decades, The Outpost, Chances, EJ's, Tony's Corner Pocket, The In-N-Out, and The Guava Lamp. And we also have gotten consent from Bob at Blackhawk Leather to put boxes in his stores.
Yay, Daddy Bob.
All right. Thank you, Daddy Bob.
We do love Daddy Bob. It's what's really important for people who aren't familiar with the toy drive to know is that these toys are going to children who are HIV positive or have AIDS, or whose families have been affected by AIDS. And the Thomas Street Clinic every year has a Christmas party for these children, and these gifts are for the Thomas Street Clinic to present to those children. So be generous.
Yes. They normally have a... Thomas Street Clinic normally has a Christmas party for all of their...
Clients.
Thank you. I was looking for the right word. It's like for all their patients, they have a Christmas party for all their clients where all the kids are allowed to come in and choose one gift. And last year we had such an incredible response that they had toys left over to continue passing out toys to all of the kids. Age range is...
The age range is, I believe, up to 18.
Unwrapped toys, new toys, stuffed animals, all kinds of cool stuff.
Don't wrap them first.
No. Please don't wrap the toys, because we have to unwrap the toys to make sure that they are safe and packaged properly.
Non-lead based.
Yeah. Also keep in mind that for toddlers, they can always use toddler toys, teething rings, bottles, baby bottles, things like that as well. So we're not talking just toys. We are talking about some well-needed supplies as well, because those make for great Christmas presents for people who don't have the money to do it.
Exactly. And for the infants, don't be afraid to drop a box of Pampers in.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Yeah, we just need to make sure a few people don't take.
I'm not saying any words.
Oh, let's not go there.
Hey, I was being polite when you were talking about toys.
Now we're already going into the diaper fetish. Okay, no.
Yeah, wrong toy drive.
Wrong toy drive. That's a different toy drive.
I mean, when you're talking about a toy drop at Blackhawk Leather, I was being nice and holding my tongue.
No. These are toys for kids, not toys for us.
Well, okay. That had happened in the past. Someone had not made a specific understanding about what the toy drive was, and at one point...
We did get a few very adult toys, some lingerie, some teabags, some bras, edible panties.
If you're going to drop a toy in the toy box at Blackhawk Leather, drop it on your way in, not on your way out.
Yes, thank you.
And once again, if you have these toys, if they're stuffed animals, if you happen to be a smoker, they really do need to be cleaned first, because you're looking at a lot of kids who may have allergies, and smoke does tend to affect that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we try to Febreze everything that comes in like that, but Febreze only goes so far. So if you're going to get it, try to get it new. Put it in a car, put it in a bag, don't smoke on your way over to drop it off. You can have your cigarette after you've done your good deed.
I have to step in real quick and let everyone know that you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
And give us all your money so we can keep this radio station on the air and keep it free.
And because it hasn't been said yet, for those of you who are the night owls and have actually taken the trouble to tune us in, thank you so much.
It's greatly appreciated.
Hey, I said that when I started.
No, you didn't.
I did. So I said, thank you for joining us. I'm Daddy Bear Robert. We'll play it back afterwards. And this is, thank you, this is Leather Ties. I did say, I'm starting to talk like Eddie Izzard now. I knew I shouldn't have watched that damn tape.
Oh, as long as you don't start talking like Don Imus, we're going to be okay.
Oh, no. Don't. Sorry. Wrong. No. New topic. Quit. So, how long does this toy drive go on? When did the, what's the cutoff point so we can get these toys to the kids?
Our cutoff date is going to be December 22nd. So be sure and get the toys into the boxes. We're going to be keeping the boxes emptied out, but that will be our last day. The boxes will disappear. So the cutoff date is December 22nd to make sure that we can get the toys to the clinic in time to present to the kids.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And much love to all the bars that participated and have been participating.
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah. Bars and businesses, yeah.
Oh,
definitely.
Yeah.
All the businesses that have been participated over the years that have helped out with the toy drive.
Oh, so. And the people. I mean, just you listeners who've been so gracious enough to drop off these toys to help out people. It's been phenomenal. Thank you so much.
Yeah, last year was great doing the toy drive pickups.
18 bags of toys.
It was incredible. Absolutely incredible. So.
Except the biggest problem that we had was when, Robert, when you and I went over to pick up the toys from the 611 and someone had dropped off this huge...
Oh,
fire truck.
It was so cool. We were playing with it.
We didn't want to let it go.
It's like, can you get your finger in there and push the button without breaking the packaging? Yeah, okay, look. Oh, check out what it did. It
had cool. Three different sirens, had a little fire engine, had a little a guy's voice turn around going, we got a 911.
Yeah.
Cool.
The sad thing was the ladder was supposed to automatically go up and down, but it was in the package and we didn't want to open it. But we wanted to see the ladder, so it's like, we got to find out who gave us that toy so we can find out where they got it so we can go get one.
Find out where they live and go play with it.
The remote control toys, got a lot of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
RC cars are always fun.
Actually, I remember the remote control high heel shoe the Misfits did that year for that. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, I got that in the auction. Yeah, that was real sweet. Although it's pretty cool. It's a great cat toy now. My cat loves chasing that little high heel shoe around. Well, thank you guys for coming and talking about the NLA Houston Toy Drive. It's benefiting Thomas Street Clinic. Again, all the toy boxes are going out in all your favorite clubs and Blackhawk and a few other places. Please donate. Cutoff date is the 22nd. That's when the NLA Houston will be picking up all the boxes. And donate. Toys, stuff for toddlers, kids. It gives them a good Christmas, and it makes you look good and feel good. So do it.
And while you're not going to be able to see them, know when you drop that toy in there that some kid's going to smile. You're going to make things, you're going to make the holidays that much better for people, you know, who can't do it for themselves. It's not going to cost that much to change a life.
Exactly.
Well, let's get into some. I brought some, as Christmassy as I can get, I brought some really obnoxious Christmas crap music. Because I really don't do this holiday very well, because I think it's just very commercialized. But so here's my tribute to Christmas, and we'll be back after this with some, with the conclusion of our fetish play talk.
Go. Lift me up, set me free, lay your hands on me. just dancing with Jesus Duvalare. Jesus said, let's go, Fred. It will soon be Sunday. Lift me up, set me free. Lay your hands on me. Lift me up, set me free. Lay your hands on me. Jesus is a toddler in the land of. His mom is Mary, his dad is Joe. Jesus is the cover, he told me.
What's the matter with your star? It's a pretty star. Ah! Oh, ow! Oh!
should have played that with the song from the wet spots.
Robert Helms is just cringing and laughing, and Buzz is just about to wet his pants. I told you, that's what I call Christmas right there.
It may take me a minute to recover.
And all I can think of is I have several friends of mine going, well, we could easily replace their names with the angel.
Yeah. I do actually know a boy named Angel. I think it's pretty funny. But that first song was Jesus is a Clubber, I Met Him at the Disco. That's by Right Said Fred. And then the other one was Who Put the Stump in My Rump?
Ba-bum, ba-bum.
Ba-bum, ba-bum.
Which one we do play?
Yeah, I like that song. It's like, for me, that's what I call Christmas. Well, there's a couple other Christmas songs we'll be doing, too, but, yeah, that's a good one. So, let's get back to Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert T. We're going to conclude the series of fetish play and safety. Safe and sane fetish play. So, we're going to continue with Robert Helms, who's Mr. Bondage Bear, and Master Buzz, who's really good with electro. So, let's start with electro. Buzz, what is electro play, electricity play? How scary, dangerous is it? How fun is it? Tell us what you know.
Very.
Oh, thank you, Robert.
It wasn't it?
Yes. Shut up or I'll stick my stump up your romp. Okay, Virgin?
I understand that electricity is something that
we hear about
people being struck by lightning and living, and more people who are struck by lightning die than live. Well, what you're doing is you're playing with lightning in measured form, and
well,
if you're not,
we're also not talking that wattage either,
right? Before you play with electricity, you really should read up on electrical play, and there are several books out. Black Hawk Leather has one that is really great, and right now the title and author escape me, but if you go in and ask Daddy Bob, he'll point you in the right direction. When you're playing with these things, one of the most important things to remember is never put a positive electrode on one side of the heart and a negative electrode on the other side. Never send electricity through the heart. The heart responds to electrical impulses, and if you interrupt those, you'll stop the heart. And
you'll turn into Dick Cheney.
Yeah, and your little play buddy dies.
Oh, I
and
said
you
that
go
out
to
loud.
Prison.
Sorry, bad outdoor voice. Bad Daddy Bear.
And you only go to prison if they catch you.
Right.
No, you don't, because all you have to do is wipe out all the files and go, I don't know, I don't recall.
When you're working with electricity, the electrodes that I was mentioning are when you're using such things as the TENS unit or the Folsom unit.
Okay, so
the TENS unit is the one.
People who don't know what this a TENS unit or a Folsom unit is, as opposed to most people are familiar with seeing an ultraviolet wand.
If you have ever been to a chiropractor who put the little pads on your skin that sent electrical impulses into your muscles, causing them to contract rhythmically, that is a TENS unit. And what it does is it's a little box with little wires, with little pads on the end that are electrodes that you stick to the skin. That electrode, whether it be positive or negative, will actually insert a pulse of electrical energy into a muscle. In between the positive and negative, as the pulse is actually introduced, the muscle will contract. Not violently, hopefully you're not using that kind of wattage, but it'll actually cause the muscle to contract. It'll spasm during that electrical impulse. And you set it up on a rhythm, and it does it rhythmically.
Now, so be careful where you put those pads.
Use your imagination. There are several toys out there wherein the rhythmic pulsing of muscles can be really exciting.
Oh, yes. I've actually seen people have an orgasm having one on their penis. So
yes.
That's really hot.
Electrical stimulation of the prostate can cause automatic ejaculation. This stuff can be really fun, but again, it can be very, very dangerous. Don't play with it without first seeking at least the advice of someone who has been there and done that, and hopefully reading up on what electricity is and how the body reacts to it. Remember that our bodies are batteries. You have positive and negative charges. You're actually introducing positive and negative charges.
I'm just flashing on the matrix right now so they can turn this into this. Knock it off my shoulder, bitch.
if you counteract the pulses that actually keep your body alive, you're not going to keep the body alive. So be sure you know what you're doing before you do it. When you do know what you're doing, you're going to have a blast with it.
Great. Now let's talk about safety. If you have a heart murmur, a pacemaker.
This is all part of negotiation.
Yeah. I mean,
these are things that you should clear with the partner you're going to play with before you begin play. Does this person have any kind of a history of heart disease, heart murmur, high blood pressure? Because high blood pressure can indicate heart disease or some malfunction of the heart or the pulmonary or
cardiovascular system.
Yeah.
System.
Make sure that the partner you're going to play with is healthy and able to withstand these things. And that's something that you need to talk about in advance. Start with any kind of play. Start small. Don't go for the high wattage.
Low
right
wattage,
up front.
Build up to it so you can adjust and know where your limit is.
And remain in constant communication with that person. Does that feel good? Yes. Oh, yes. Ah, that feels good. Does that feel... stop. Right there. When you get the, I can't talk, you've gone too far.
Hopefully take it back down.
Yeah, take it back down. Like I said, this is very, very dangerous done wrong. So again, know what you're doing before you do it and negotiate with the person you're going to be playing with.
Most of the games we play can be very dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. But this is one that is particularly dangerous and can kill.
And there's nothing worse than someone who's seen it done and then runs out and buys it and then goes home and tries it on someone without any clue.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, I saw it in a video. It's so hot. Let me do you.
Mm-hmm. Don't do anything. Here's a good clue. And this is something that somebody else told me a long time ago. Don't do anything to anybody else that you wouldn't do to yourself first.
Amen.
Exactly.
And besides, you might actually find out you like it more.
Yeah. When my toy, I'm not sharing.
Yeah, I bought it for you to use on me. Nah. When I'm happy, then maybe I'll let you play with it.
But, sir... And again, when playing with electricity, stay away from the heart.
And stay away from water.
Water.
I mean,
common sense electrical things. Don't play with these things standing in a puddle of water.
Right, but I mean, common sense would also say don't play with it in the bathtub.
Right.
Don't get into a shaving scene or something where you're still wet. You know, don't get out of the shower and do this until your body is completely dry.
But let's face it, common sense is neither common nor sense. There's a lot of stupid people out there.
That is why
common sense is an oxymoron.
No, I wouldn't say that they're necessarily stupid. I would say they are ignorant. Stupid means you know better, but you do it anyway. Ignorant means you don't know better.
No, stupid. Yeah.
Okay, Robert Helm said that. Let me give you his email so you can send him the hate mail.
If we're going to get into semantics here, ignorant means you know you don't know, you know that you don't know, and you don't want to know because it's not fun. That's just ignorant.
And
so just
damn,
say Republican.
That's stupid.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, that was Chris. You can send hate mail to him at...
afterhours@kpft.org.
And when you send that hate mail, please remember to hit that PayPal button and send some money, too. He'll read it that
either
way.
Either send us bucks or dick shots. One of the two, we accept either one.
Oh, no, not a dick shot. I hate that, you know? All you ever see is
they get too close up.
Well, that, but a dick shot or a butt shot or just the chest or here's my nose real close up. I'm so tired of these cropped little photos. I want to see the whole man.
Yeah,
me
true.
Too.
Okay.
Okay, the hell with the dick shot. Dirty pictures!
Thank you. I mean, you know, little cropped dick shots are really cute as part of a series in a photo, as a photo or two in a series, but if you don't get to see the whole person, I'm not interested in just... The three danglies and some nipples. I want to see the whole man.
Yeah.
And please be of yourself.
Yeah. Really, don't put your head on Anne Margaret's body. I mean, don't do the Oprah thing. Okay?
Sorry, no, that just doesn't work for me.
Okay, Chris.
I don't need to.
Anne Margaret's head on yours.
I got the curves that she had.
You wouldn't be Anne Margaret, you'd be Shelley Winters. Okay?
Pre-Poseidon Adventure.
Yo,
okay,
wow.
Pre-Poseidon. You heard that from Robert Helms. Okay, so...
Hey, Robert, do you hear this?
Okay, now... Well, I'm just glad the FCC couldn't hear that.
I'd say it louder, but I don't think my wrist could handle it.
Yeah. By the way, they're speaking in sign language.
Phone call.
Now,
oh goody, it's the FCC.
It's the FCC. Now let's talk about that. We're talking about tens units,
right? The tens and the Folsom unit, the same thing,
very
but
similar.
A much more powerful version.
Yeah, it's like the difference between
what is more
a
fun,
9-watt battery and a car battery.
It really is more fun though. The Folsom unit has so many more features.
Oh, it's got lots of fun bells and whistles, but if
and
you don't know what you're doing. Yeah, and attachments, yeah. That has
well,
all kinds of wonderful...
Well, you can use the Folsom attachments with the TENS unit.
But it's not as fun as
no kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
But
I mean, the pulse rate, you can regulate the pulse rate even more finely tuned with the Folsom unit, and as well as the frequency and the voltage and all of this. It's got so many... Oh, they're fun.
Okay, but this is also something that's really not for a beginner. It's very advanced.
No, yes.
Something that's more for a beginner would be like a wand...
Oh, the violet
so
wand.
So let's go back to something that's simpler and easier to use that more people won't be terrified of.
The tennis racket, the fly swatter.
Those are great toys, by the way. If you want to talk about electrical play, to just get your feet wet and have some fun, those little electrified tennis racket things, those bug swatters, those zappers are great toys. They could deliver just enough zap to give you a good sting or kill a bug. It's a lot more fun to smack somebody on the ass with it than it is.
Kind of looks like a racquetball racket.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we'll paint a bunch of flies on your butt and then we'll start smacking them off. But those cute little tennis rackets you get, they can be used for some very fun games. And it's not just for smacking. You can just roll it across somebody's body. It's got a decent enough electrical charge that it feels good and it's fun.
What they do is deliver a sharp static charge. Basically, a static charge, for those of you who aren't electrically familiar,
run across the carpet and then touch your nose.
Drag your feet across the carpet and touch somebody, it goes snap. That is a static charge. Now, it's not quite the power involved with one of the fly swatters, which actually looks like a miniature tennis racket. It has a wire mesh,
it's got the strings like a tennis racket. It looks like a little baby tennis
except
racket.
Except they're all horizontal and not vertical.
It's kind of like a giant ping pong paddle, but it's a tennis racket ping pong paddle looking thing.
And once it's charged up, it delivers one charge per charge. And once it does, it is a heavy duty snap. So you don't want to snap your penis with it.
Well, unless you're really
in. Unless, of course, you're into
it. Well, no, not your own.
Right. the violet wand delivers the same type of charge.
No, I couldn't do that because I've got metal.
True.
It delivers a static charge, but it's
fun,
not
though.
Just one snap. It is continuous. It is a continuous static charge delivered to the area of the body where you're touching with the wand. It has several different attachments. They do have a rheostat. It does. You can adjust the strength. But this, again, is a toy that, while it is fun, it needs to be regulated carefully because if you turn it all the way up, you can actually burn the skin with the electrical charge that you're delivering. I know I've done it. I've left some rather pretty marks with it.
Yes. And I know that your boy was really ticked off because they were gone in a day.
My boy heals too fast.
You're not the only one.
I'd have to beat and shock that boy every day of the week to keep marks on him.
Kirby, go to bed. You didn't hear that. That's not your Christmas present.
No, it's not. I have something else in mind. Moving on. The violet
put
wand.
Put the stump in my romp, romp, romp.
Some of you have seen the violet wand in either videos or actually in action.
Actually, used one in a demo during the Boy of Montrose contest, right? Wasn't that during the Boy of Montrose?
Was it the night of the
Boy I don't think,
Montrose
no, it wasn't
contest?
A contest. I think you did
no,
that during...
Iniquity.
It's Spring Iniquity.
It's Spring Iniquity. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that's when I got Vince with it.
Yeah. But I think also, I know you did one on stage at the Ripcord during a show. Maybe it was Boy Darin's first Boy of Montrose show where they had the silent auction and all that?
No, that was
that was
for
the night that
the,
you did the bondage thing.
That was,
he took Robert Helms
that was Daddy of Montrose.
With rope. He hog-tied and completely immobilized his boy in under 10 minutes. It was just brilliant to watch.
It was the same show. That was the Daddy of Montrose contest.
Okay, so that's what it was. It was the Daddy of Montrose contest. You had your slave up on stage using the ultraviolet wand on him.
Yeah.
They turned down all the lights in the bar, so all you saw was the wand and the boy just
I was just about to get to that. For those of you who have never seen one, the violet wand, has, like I say, it has several attachments, most of which are glass tubes or bulbs of some kind.
Yeah, they have the orb, a rake.
When they're plugged into the device itself and the device is turned on and the electric charge is actually being pumped into these tubes, they glow.
A violet color, which is why they're called violet wands.
Right.
Because they have this purplish-blue violet color.
And again, it delivers a constant static charge that you get to regulate the strength of, and they can be very stimulating for persons of all play levels, depending on whose hand is holding it.
And how high you have it turned up. And that's exactly the thing, always start lower wattage until you know what's comfortable and what your limit is with this type of play.
And please remember, these are glass tubes. They can break.
Yeah, they are not insertables.
Yeah, they are not insertable. If you want insertable, then you're going to have to get a TENS or
Folsom unit.
The Folsom unit comes with several types, several different varieties of insertable.
Cavity fillers, as we call them. They have plugs, anal plugs. They have a few other toys that are used. I've actually used one that is a sound.
Yeah,
I've seen that one.
Mm-hmm. And that's incredible. For those of you who don't know what a sound is something that you slide into your urethra, and basically you're masturbating from the inside instead of the outside. It's really fun. We'll talk about that another time. But I'm just saying, that's incredible.
Right.
Incredible.
Now, if you are using a metal sound, which are generally made from surgical stainless steel.
Yeah, because my set is all surgical.
Right. If you're using one of those, you can touch it with the end of the violet wand, and it will send that charge because it is metal, and metal conducts electricity.
Well,
but you do not want to insert anything that is attached to the wand itself into any part of your body.
No. You use the sound, then you tap the sound with the electrical charge. But see, that's the fun thing for me, because I have piercings, which probably everybody knows about.
Oh, yeah. Touch a piercing, and that electricity goes into the skin, behind the skin, everywhere that ring goes.
But it travels so much faster through your body. It's incredible. So, no matter where, I mean, you could hit somebody's earring with it, and they would just, like, have a fabulous mind trip on you. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, they just happen to lose first grade memories, but...
Again, for novices, remember, things are not things that you just go out and buy and play with.
You need to learn, read up on it, test one out. If you know somebody who has one of these toys,
have them show you how it works.
Teach you how to use it. You need somebody to teach you how to use something like this. And again, in LA Houston, there's enough people within every fetish category that I can think of that there is somebody there that can help you. Just ask.
Yeah, I don't actually own one, but I have access to one.
Hmm. The ultraviolet wand is hot.
Oh, yes.
Now, let's talk about aftercare real quick, and then I want to get into a couple of songs, and then we're going to talk about bondage, because I want to hear all about Robert's fabulous rope toys. This man has got, like, he's got enough rope to hogtie his entire car, and you would never find his truck.
No, I don't. No, I don't. I need more rope.
Okay.
You always need more rope.
Hint, Mark. So, aftercare for electrical play. You mentioned that you can cause burn marks, so...
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, burn marks obviously treat it like any burn. Antibiotic ointments, blah, blah, blah.
Burn cream. A lot of antibiotic ointments are not suitable for use in burns. You want to have burn cream, some kind of burn ointment.
Right.
The best thing to have when you're using electricity, if it burns the skin, it's not.
We're not talking about blistering people.
No, we're talking about
leaving nice marks, some trail marks, you know, some happy memories.
And the happy memories will actually last if you do this. If you're going to do this and you're not all that familiar, you're new at this, have a bowl of ice cubes nearby. Run the ice cube along the same trail that you used where you've burned the skin, and that takes the burn out of the skin and leaves the mark behind.
It lasts
longer that way.
Now, one thing we're talking about, electricity is causing contractions, it's causing muscle spasms, and those spasms can reappear the next day when you're just sitting there watching TV. You can get little muscle spasms. So
nerve memory.
So what kind of aftercare would you give in a situation like this?
Okay, as with any... The word aftercare is pretty much self-explanatory. Care after... The types of play that we're talking about in your kinky play segment here are extremes of personal contact. What we do to our bodies in the extreme to feel good. When it stops feeling good, stop doing it. But even if it feels good, until you stop doing it, you're playing in areas that the mind is not conditioned to play. So you have to care for the person, not just the libido, the whole person. And
not just the body.
Not just the body, but the mind, the emotion, the spirit. Remember that you're playing with a whole human being. The play doesn't end when the toys are put away, because you're actually creating not just physical memory in the marks that you leave behind, but you're creating emotional memory, muscle memory, and nerve memory. And nowhere is that more prevalent than in electrical play, because the muscles the next day and the nerves the next day will remember and repeat on their own. So it's always good to have a pleasant conversation the next day. Call somebody up on the phone, say, hey, let's go out and have a cup of coffee. How you feeling?
You know, and if they suddenly throw the coffee in your face, it's just a muscle spasm.
Yeah, it's just a muscle. I don't know. Maybe it's Tourette's.
I love Pussy Tourette. Don't you knock that drag queen. I love Pussy Tourette. Okay.
But remember that the person that you play with, you shouldn't play with people you don't like to begin with. You're liable to do things you don't intend to.
You don't like or trust. No, definitely not.
So it shouldn't be so much trouble to call the next day or a couple of days later. Be sure that before you play, this person has a number to reach you, so that if they need you, they can call you. But follow up. Do it yourself. If you're playing with somebody and somebody else is bottoming for you and they're doing all of this wonderful stuff and you're making them feel really wonderful, it might not feel wonderful the next day. Give them a call. Find out. Ask. How are you feeling?
But again, the same token goes that if you are the bottom of the situation, you need to know that you have this information. You need to know that you can call this person or rely on this person to give you the proper attention after a scene, whether it's a day later, a week later, whatever.
Hey, you trusted me enough to hit you with a cattle prod. You should trust me enough to accept a phone call.
Yeah. So, why don't we listen to a couple of more disgustingly bad Christmas songs? We're going to come back and we're going to talk about rope play and bondage with Sir Robert Helms.
It's Christmas time and I'm in trouble. Got too drunk at the company affair. Sat on the copier, wore no apparel. Did it on a dare. Insulted the boss and French kissed a stranger. Pinched his butt, poured beer on his toupee. Till someone said, you don't know the danger. The boss's friend is gay. More beer for you and for me. And stories for us to share. No fear, I jumped on a desk and danced while everyone stared. I didn't even know I put on a show till next morning. Take a look at that. It's facts to one and all. Merry Christmas to one and all.
It's Christmas time at the office party. We'll get drunk and do annoying things.
I grabbed the boss's wife by the ass and had myself a fling.
Woo! We'll goose a friend and tell what the manager pissed him off and sent him on his way.
Tickling too. Come on, it's lousy weather to be suffering inside with the flu. Outside the snow is falling, your fever's at 102. Let's take some Alka-Seltzer and a box of antihistamines too. We'll bring some Kleenex with us and sing a chorus or two. Let's let my red nose lead us in a sleigh ride in spite of the flu.
Hack it up, lock it up, let's go. Hack it up, let's go.
cough it up, cough it up, cough it up. Oh man, there's some on my head. My glands are puffed and swollen, and every hour I pee, my throat's as rough as leather and raspy as it can be. Let's take some Kleenex with us and sing a carol or two. We'll make our noses redder on a sleigh ride to go with the flu. My kid came home from preschool with a cough today. He'll infect the whole darn neighborhood in about a day.
We'll be calling in sick to work until the diarrhea stops.
At the pharmacy, we'll get lots more pills to pop. Pop, pop, pop.
I took every medication I can legally buy.
The coughing, sneezing, sniffling, and the watery eyes.
I'll be getting real drunk on NyQuil. I'll take Contact till I'm high.
Whoa. This wonderful buzz is great, but I'm glad I don't have to drive. Just hear those noses sniffling, sore throats tickling too. Come on, it's lousy weather to be suffering inside with the flu. Outside the snow is falling, your fever's at 102. Come on, it's lousy weather for a flu ride together with you. Ba 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 da da.
It's Christmas time, and all through town, the people run around, buying lots of pretty things they'll throw away. But darling, you've no need to prove your love with gifts and trinkets. You can show me that you care another way. Just miss me this Christmas. Do me underneath the Christmas tree. Leave the gifts, just bring the Crisco. 'Cause Christmas means kissing to me. I don't think decorations are expensive. Celebrations are a never-ending spending spree. 'Cause let me tell you, Rissa, the gift I can't resist is when you're married to your wrist in me. Just fist me this Christmas. Do me underneath the Christmas tree. Leave the gifts, just bring the Crisco. 'Cause Christmas means fisting to me. Now the snow is falling and the relatives are calling, but we're letting it rain. Singing glory, hallelujah, very merry to you. We'll be swinging in the Christmas sleigh. Just fist me this Christmas. Do me underneath the Christmas tree. Fist me this Christmas. 'Cause Christmas means fisting to me. 'Cause Christmas means fisting to me.
That song just gave me a hard on.
That is not right. And they look so cheery in the video.
If you go to YouTube. Okay, my jock is too tight now. We could just play that song over and over. I like that one. That was Fist Me for Christmas.
Yeah.
Tell us how to get it.
By the Wet Spots. You can go to YouTube.
By the Wet Spots.
Yes.
Don't you love
yes.
that? Are there, that's that shoot-off group from Camel Toe, right? you've heard of the group Camel Toe, right?
I have.
Have you heard of the group Clip Boys?
No. No.
Oh, they're great.
I'm trying to find what's the...
How do you get to that?
Well, you can look up tags for Sex and Christmas.
Mm.
Yeah.
But the song is called Fist Me This Christmas. Like I said, it's on YouTube. A lovely group of four carolers and a tuba player.
Yeah. Love the tuba player. He's the one hiding the Crisco in the tuba.
I have to thank Micah for finding this.
No, that's funny.
Thank you, Micah.
And like I said, coming in January when we get done with the Christmas songs, we'll be playing another song by the Wet Spots.
I want their whole discography, please.
Oh yeah,
where they're playing a lovely little song called "Do You Take It Up the Ass?"
Yes.
We'll save that for the next leather line.
We'll
leather
do that. Yes, yes, that'll be great. I'll gear the whole show around that. Welcome back to Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert T. Thanks for tuning in. We are here tonight with Master Buzz Lawson and Sir Robert Helms, both members of NLA Houston. We're concluding the Safe and Sane Fetish Play series that I've been doing for the last 3 months. So, we just finished talking about electricity, electroplay, tens units, folsoms, violet wands. Now we're going to get into some bondage with Captain Bondage Extraordinaire Robert Helms, who could hogtie anything. So let's start out with actually rope. What is good rope? What is bad rope?
There's no such thing as bad rope.
Well, but like that 100% nylon rope, that's
oh, no, that's not bad rope.
No, it's a good rope. That's a good rope.
Burns. That's
exactly.
It has its uses.
Okay, it has its uses. Fine. I'm not one into bondage. So well, I'm not into rope play the way you guys are.
Well, rope
I do handcuffs. They're a lot easier. You only need one little key. Okay.
Yeah, until you pass out and your bottom is still stuck up there going, sir, sir, sir.
Yeah, you'll get down when I let you down, but you know. But handcuffs, to me, I'm sorry, they're just a little bit more faster to get them in and out of, but no. So let's talk about rope. Let's talk about types of rope, what's good to use, what's bad to use.
Well, you basically got two different types of rope. You've got synthetic rope, and then you've got your natural ropes.
I know you're partial to natural ropes.
Actually, I prefer both when it comes down to
most of the ropes I know that you have are like hemp rope.
It's the majority of my rope is hemp, but I do have a lot of synthetic. And I enjoy my synthetic for whatever I'm doing for the specific things. If I'm trying to work fast, then most of the time it's going to be my synthetics. You've got your nylons. But whenever you're looking at rope for whatever you're going to be using, you have to decide, is this
color? Will it go with my chaps?
When you get to your ropes, you worry about your what they call burn speed, mm-hmm. which is whenever you want to test a rope, take a piece of rope and run it through your hands. And at different speeds. And when it gets hot, that'll tell you its burn speed. So if you're tying someone up and you're working fast, you know that as you're pulling it and it's rubbing against flesh, then it's going to burn. Your natural ropes have a very low burn, so you can pull them as fast as possible, and they're mainly just going to get the sensation from the twist of the way that the rope is made.
Mm-hmm. Just from the friction of the rope, not actually get burned.
Right. Because you have different types of... with some of the ropes, it depends. You have some of the nylons that are made with 6 strands, mm-hmm. some with 4, 3. The same with your naturals. Your naturals are mainly between 3 and 4 strands. So when you use your naturals, or your nylons, I'm sorry, your nylons may be in a crisscross pattern.
Right.
That's going to increase your burn speed right. whenever it's running across the flesh.
Right.
But when it also comes to doing your knots... your natural ropes are going to hold a knot a lot stronger and faster than a synthetic. Mm-hmm. But then you've also got to look at what kind of synthetic ropes are you going to do. I really don't like climbing rope because it's so stiff. And
well,
it doesn't
but that's the purpose that it's suited for.
For climbing.
So, well, you know, if you're hogtying a 300-pound man to the ceiling, yeah, it's good stuff to use.
Just use an inch-thick rope. It's good.
Thank you. Well, that's my next question. What do you consider too thin that it could actually cut and really hurt, or what do you consider too fat to be of use as far as the thickness of the rope, the diameter?
Actually, the diameter of the ropes, good diameter. Probably your most average diameter is going to be a 6 millimeter or a 3/8. That's a standard one. If you're doing anything...
which you can get at any Home Depot or Lowe's
exactly.
or Ace Hardware.
Southland Hardware.
Southland Hardware.
My favorite toy store.
And that's not for the paint cans either.
Nope. Yeah. No, but when you get to it, they have
some great clamps there.
Oh, yes.
Okay, sorry. We're talking about rope.
Well, if you're doing any kind of CBT, then a quarter inch or smaller,
right.
4 millimeter. Clothesline works great.
Clothesline. Clothesline is normally cotton, isn't it?
Yes.
You can find... actually, it's a little difficult to find the cotton that's going
to
be...
it's easier to find the synthetics now.
Yeah, the synthetic, whenever you look at the synthetic and you buy that, it's going to be good all the way through. Whenever you buy your regular, your nylon or your cotton clothesline,
as you check it, you're going to see different parts of it where it may be frayed or broken. So that's where you're running a risk of it's going to snap. Yeah.
It's not as smooth.
But it can break really easy if you're doing any kind of high-tension work on it.
For a thinner rope, you prefer a synthetic?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So because I've got parachute cord that I use for my CBT stuff that I do.
Okay.
I mean, that's stretchy.
It is.
Yeah, that is good stuff. Yeah. Now, let's talk about actually tying somebody up and mobilizing them, how far to go. How tight do you tie before you cut off circulation? How do you check for this?
Well, once again, just like Master Buzz said, you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful with your bottom because you've got an entire internal system of the human body that you have to pay attention to.
And
you've got
right now you're messing with circulatory system and nerve damage.
Exactly, because you're dealing with, there's nerve clusters that are in different areas. There's some in the wrist. If you tie too tight, you're going to cut, you can cause nerve damage.
So basically, what, if their fingers start getting cold, you've got them too tight,
Whenever you're in the middle of a scene, if you're just tying someone up real quick so then you can just go ahead and jump in and do the nasty, that's one thing. But you're going to have to check on them. Now, if you're in the middle of a scene where it's tying and retying and untying.
Where
just
it's a full bondage scene.
Right.
Not just tying somebody up so you can boff them.
Yeah, in that situation, then you really want to keep checking them. So you check their hands, you keep grabbing their hands, make sure that they're not getting too cold. Now, there's one thing that I can do with my boy is that he's very cold-natured by normal. So checking the hands doesn't work for me.
Okay, so somebody
his hands are cold.
So somebody who normally gets cold, clammy.
Right.
Has a lower body temperature.
So in that one,
how would you know?
Well, just like Master Buzz said, you have to keep those open lines of communication, which is when my negotiations, the very first thing I tell them is that if you feel any kind of tingling in your extremities, you let me know immediately, because that's the first sign that you're in a nerve damage.
Right. And that tingly feeling is like you ever have your foot fall asleep? That's what we're talking about.
Right. It's a good thing to know the different areas of the body where you can check the pulse, too. And they don't even have to be aware of the fact that you're doing it. Know where you can put your fingers to check the pulse. Because you're actually placing tourniquets on people.
Basically, yeah, that's what you're doing.
Know about your radial pulses, your arterial pulses. Know where those are at. Because those are the areas you don't want to restrict.
Great. So for somebody who is learning and wants to practice on their partner, or wants to be practiced on, where are you talking about? Are you talking about the wrist? Are you talking, like, under the armpit?
Well, actually, if you're doing any of the radial pulses, then you want to be very careful, because if you grab just underneath the arm, on the arm, under the bicep, where the bicep meets the tricep, on the inside of the arm.
On the inside of the arm.
If you reach in there and you really push hard,
You can cut off circulation instantly.
Well, as soon as it starts hurting, that's when you know that you've got it, and the moment that you start feeling it in your fingers, and you've got the space, if you've got the right spot, you will feel it in your fingertips. That's an area that you don't touch.
Right.
When you're tying on the wrists, it's basically use the wrist bone that's up there, and don't tie below that wrist bone.
When you say below, you mean don't tie
towards the hand.
Down onto the hand.
Onto the hand.
Stay above the wrist.
Stay above that wrist bone going back. So that's basically about 1 to 2 inches from your wrist going back into the arm. Is your no-touch zone.
Okay. Now, let's also talk about the feet, the legs.
Well, when you get to the feet, it's the same thing. Your radial pulses or your arterial pulses are going to be on the inside, up towards the crotch area that you don't really want to get into. Stick to your outsides. Focus on your outsides of the skin or the outside of the body. Those are really good areas. When you're tying someone, are you looking at tying the wrists together? Are you tying their arms together?
Okay, let's start with doing something simple like immobilizing their hands.
Immobilizing their hands. Best way to do it. See, I like a little cat's... See, I like using what's called a cat's paw tie, which is a real cheap, quick and dirty tie,
We like quick and dirty.
Yeah, because it will... When you make the tie, you can slip it around the wrist and tie it snug. Make it again, tie it around the other wrist, tie it snug, and then you pull the two together.
So you're pretty much looking at like a devil slip knot.
No, they're not slip knots at all. Cat's
paws.
No, cat's paws are not a slip. No, basically a cat's paw is...
You're doing this, aren't you? And then you're pulling this through.
No, it's basically...
Sorry, you guys can't see this, but...
Taking a cat's paw is making a loop, that drops down between the two hands. Then you twist it once to the inside.
Oh, that. Okay.
And slides in. And then just pull tight.
Right, that's what I said.
It's not really a slip knot because you do 2 or 3 of these ties. You turn it inside 2 or 3 times. And that's what makes it a little bit more snug and a little bit more safer. Because the more ties you've got,
the more breathing room that their circulatory system has.
Now, if you're going to go ahead and tilt your arms together, if you want to put the hands together a la Genie, and I Dream of Genie, you could put the hands together that way, which is tying the two, tying the rope around.
Right. Horizontally.
Thank
Horizontally.
You. you can tie them with both wrists together where your elbows are touching and your wrists are touching and the hands are in front of them. You can tie a wrist to an ankle.
What's the danger? What's the danger in immobilizing somebody from behind, tying their hands behind their back? Is there more risk of cutting off circulation or dislocating the shoulder?
No, it's about the same no matter where you look. But you also have to look at, can the person really bend? Do they have that flexibility?
I smell a dick in the air.
No, that would be the taquito I had before I got here.
Like I said. And what was his name?
Jesus.
I met him at the disco.
Did you know?
Okay, so let's talk about you want to hog tie somebody. Is it better to hog tie them from the front, from the back? What's going to be better for the bottom in that situation?
Hog tie is traditionally done from the back.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you also see the people where they have the wrists and the feet tied together in the front.
Okay, if you're talking about doing a hog tie like you would hog tie a cow.
Well, yeah. That's from behind, yeah.
That would be from the front.
That would be from the front.
Yeah. But to do a really good hog tie, it's you start off from the back and you put the rope around their chest. Put it through the bite, pull it tight, come back around, basically come up over the neck, tie it to the back piece, come back over the neck again, tie it to the front.
Now, he's not saying going around the throat. He's just saying going up and over the shoulder, up and over the shoulder.
Right. Because the last thing you really want to do is choke your submissive.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want to asphyxiate them, yeah.
Not unless you're into breath play, but that's a different thing. That's much more dangerous. You have to know what you're doing.
That'll be for like 5 months from now when we pick up fetish play again.
But from there, once you get the basic chest harness done, their hands are already immobilized behind their back. You put them down on their stomach, grab the feet, run the rope from the back to the feet. You start tying the feet together in a figure eight pattern a real quick way.
You're going from one ankle to the other doing a figure eight.
Right. Well, when your legs come up behind you, it's natural for you to want to cross your ankles anyway.
Right.
And that's a really great position because then you can start tying the figure eight between the shoes and between the feet and around the ankles. And then from there, taking that rope and pulling it right back to the back of the chest harness and then tying that down.
Yeah, and then you can pick them up and carry them like a piece of a luggage. We did that with Boy Mark.
Yes, we did.
It's the only way we can get him off stage.
And I almost dropped him on the way off stage, too.
Actually, you kind of did. I caught him because I had the other end of him.
But I did that on purpose. It was all about fear.
Yeah, good answer. I just want to know what the dentist bill was to replace the teeth, you know, to get those porcelains back on us. Okay, so what different types of... Now, see, you made me totally lose my train of thought. I was going to ask you about decorative bondage.
Oh, erotic macrame.
Erotic. Yeah, I was going to say erotic macrame, but yeah, that's what we like to call it. But people who do, like, you'll see them out at the clubs, at the bar, or you'll see them just wearing this, like, pride parade, whatever, where they're in full rope, but the rope is actually tied like a tortoiseshell. You have rope gauntlets and things, which look really incredible. Yeah. What's the difference between play bondage and that, and how much more or less dangerous is just...
Well, when you put it
macrame, one's for play. But
there's all different kinds of things you can do for a rope, for a chest harness that you're going to put someone in. Whether it be a tortoiseshell, so named because it creates a tortoiseshell pattern. There's several different variations on that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got...
Because you do one version. I've seen Buzz's version, and you both do great versions, but they're completely different.
Yeah, yeah.
And your tortoiseshell looks very different from his tortoiseshell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Master Buzz's tortoiseshell is in a diamond pattern, and mine comes in a...
More like a hexagon.
In a hexagon pattern. It's called a tortoiseshell, is the standard name for it, which is... It's a great harness.
That's
so named. So named by someone that Robert and I both admire. It was so named by the fetish diva herself, Midori.
Yes, Midori. Yeah. Well, both Roberts, because Midori, I adore that woman.
Oh, yeah.
And if you haven't met her,
she walks on water. She walks on water.
Oh, yes.
In fact, she will be at South Plains Leather Fest next year.
Yeah. She's incredible.
Yeah. Beautiful woman.
drop dead gorgeous and the meanest, nice person I've ever met.
Right?
She could torture you with a feather and you would say thank you, and she would leave marks with the feather.
She's beautiful, intelligent,
deadly,
talented, delightful, and deliciously sadistic.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Beyond sadistic. Now, we're talking about doing something like the a tortoiseshell.
Right.
Like doing a harness. How much rope? Because we're talking about using one length of rope.
No,
you don't want to do that.
No.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah. Are you using one length of rope? What's a good length of rope for you to use to play with to do most of your play? What's one good length of rope?
What now, for think? Me, a standard would be a 6mm, 30 foot.
30 feet?
Yeah, that's mine. That's okay. My personal that I'm going to use.
You like 30 feet? So.
Because once I run out of rope, I just attach another piece and
right.
go to town.
No, I get that. Yeah. But I'm saying for most of the things you could do, if you want to do a simple harness or you wanted to hog tie, a good length of rope would be like 30 feet.
Well, with a hog tie that I do, with the one that I did.
How big your sub is.
Yeah, well, with my boy, that hog tie that I did over the ripcord, that took two 30s.
So you took 60 feet of rope to tie him up like that.
Right.
Now, when you do a tortoiseshell, or Buzz, when you do a tortoiseshell, you normally use one or two lengths of rope. And how, Buzz, how much rope do you use? What length do you prefer?
One, two, three, four, five. The last outfit you saw me put Kirby in rope was four lengths of rope.
And the lengths were?
They were two 50-foot, quarter-inch clothesline that were the gauntlets.
Mm-hmm.
There was a, I think, 30-foot. The 30 foot for the body harness and 25 feet on either arm as a sleeve.
The sleeves were very cool.
Right.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind that the gauntlets he's talking about, there's a specific way to tie them, and they go from like the wrist pretty much all the way up the forearm, and they look like Egyptian gauntlets when you're done with them. They're very cool.
You don't see that they are rope unless you get right up on them.
Exactly.
They just look like white, white long cuffs.
And when you do finally get them, well, whatever rope color Kirby does, you do white. And when you get them off, you have these beautiful marks on your arms for hours. It looks really cool.
And actually, nylon, whether your synthetics, will leave the marks longer than your naturals will.
Yeah.
That makes sense, yeah.
So
what kind of, if there's an emergency, what do you do?
Oh.
You keep a knife on you just to cut the rope off in an emergency?
Emergency EMT shears are the cheapest ones that you're going to be able to find.
Safety scissors.
Shears? What are you talking about?
No. Well, no, you don't want kitchen shears. The EMT safety shears are the best ones because they have a skin protector on the bottom piece.
Right.
And
they got their little flat plastic.
Right, and they will cut through. And those generally cost you about $5. You can find them $5 to $7. And they're
where could
phenomenal.
You find something like that?
You can actually find scissors like that over at Sears.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're just, but they're perfect for what you need. You can use any other kinds. Now, if you're working with multiple knots, a marlin spike that you use for boating is great for helping to work out the knots.
Okay.
If you're not in a hurry to get someone out of rope.
Well, no. I'm saying if there's an emergency, they're losing feeling, they're losing circulation.
Well, that's
you need
one of the
to get them out fast.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I use multiple ropes and I just keep attaching, because if there is an issue with one area, I can loosen up one set of rope and don't have to take them out of the full harness.
Got it.
Now, if there is a major emergency, for instance, like they're having heart palpitations or there's some kind of issue, then
cut
it off. And with as expensive as rope is not as expensive when you're compared with a human life.
Hello.
Yeah. Because the last thing you need is to have that negative on you.
Now, let's talk about some aftercare when it comes to bondage. And because bondage, while it looks really great and it's a lot of fun to play with from what I've been told, because like I said, bondage, I'm not that into bondage. Like I said, I prefer handcuffs, but... So when you get into totally immobilizing somebody, the headspace that this sub goes into, I mean, you've got them totally immobilized. If you blindfold them, I mean, I have been we can't call it a body bag, but that's what it is. It's a vacuum bag. And I've been left in a vacuum bag.
The vac rack.
Yeah, vac rack for like... It maybe was 45 minutes and it felt like 9 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But so I can understand the headspace you get into. You just get so completely lost in that scene. So what do you do? What kind of aftercare do you give yourself once you get them out of the rope? I mean, well, not immediately, and then two or three days later, are you calling and checking to make sure they've got their arms still?
Well, actually, with rope bondage, your aftercare starts immediately. I mean, the moment you start taking them out, because it's the whole process of actually tying someone and untying them. You can't just think that, okay, once you put them in and then you take the ropes off and they're done. As you're taking the ropes off, you're watching them. You have to keep an eye on them. Because when they do come out of their bondage piece,
they're still kind of flying.
They are still flying. So the first thing is water. Make sure that they have water. Make sure that they can stand. Something that Master Buzz had taught me was that you grab them, you look them in the eye, and you ask, what's your name?
Yeah.
And then, what's my name? Where are you? What's today's date? Which is a great way of having them check in.
Do you know where you are?
Yeah.
Bring them back to now before you let them go. And remember that after you let them go, you have created something in their mind that they need to come back from as well.
Yeah.
And the whole purpose for bondage is to induce the feeling of helplessness for a short period of time. That feeling of helplessness may or may not go away when the scene is over.
So when you say, when you're talking about immediate aftercare, that immediate aftercare could last anywhere from 30 minutes to 2-3 hours.
It can last up to a couple days.
Well, I'm saying immediate aftercare.
Oh, yeah. You because always want to keep an eye on them.
They are still flying. They are starting to come down. You need to make sure they're okay.
Exactly. And
personally,
once
I wouldn't let them drive, whatever. If you're gonna if you're going to play a scene this intense, you need... Same thing with electricity.
Yep.
If you're going to play a scene this intense, make sure that they have a place there where they can relax and stay and be safe.
Well, the thing is, once they're flying, once they're flying and they got those endorphins running, most of the time they don't even know if there's a problem until those endorphins start wearing off.
Right.
And then suddenly a problem pops up. Could be anywhere from a couple minutes to a couple hours later.
Right.
So you really have to be able to check in with them.
I have to step in and let everyone know you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
And we're always accepting donations to keep this radio station free and keep it running, so do it. Doesn't matter when. We don't have to have a fundraising drive for you to send us some money and keep us on the air. Do it anytime.
We love the applause, but we can't spend it. Send money.
Well, we can't hear the applause unless you call us and clap for us. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
There you go. That'll
so
work.
After
now the phone lines are going to light up.
You're going to make me work instead of cruise the internet?
Yeah, I'm going to make you work instead of cruise the internet. I mean, I'm not even going to go where you just were.
I'm sending an email to the wet spots.
Wow. No, I thought you were going to... If you told me you were sending an email to that pretty boy in San Diego, I was
going to... I've heard of other things than just send an email.
Well, I'm not going to say a word, Chris. So, aftercare.
Yeah, we are back on that, aren't we?
Yeah, aftercare. So, 2-3 days later, with electro, you're wanting to make sure if they have any burns, if they're healing properly.
Right.
Make sure that your sub is...
How are your marks? Do you like them? Are you happy with them?
Yeah. Schedule a new play date.
Right. Shall we do this again sometime?
But, I mean, those aren't the only questions that you need to ask with aftercare, no matter what scene you're playing, whether it's fisting, water sports, electro, bondage, you know, blood sports, whatever you're playing. It's not just the physical well-being, it's the mental well-being and emotional well-being.
I'm still doing aftercare on a scene I did more than a year ago. I had a sub actually go unconscious during a scene.
We're not talking about the tree hugger.
Getting him, the tree hugger. Hi, Joe.
Good evening, Joe. Love you.
The immediate aftercare was, okay, he's unconscious. Let's get him conscious again.
Yeah.
Let's get him upright. Let's make sure he knows where he is. Let's get him some water.
Now, everybody, when Boy Joe did wake up, everybody's like hovered around him. Are you okay? The first words out of his mouth. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yep. Yep.
I thought that was the one that was on the tree.
It had always been a fantasy for him to be flogged unconscious, and we made it happen. But like I say, I'm still doing aftercare with that one. We still talk about that. And yes, we laugh, but we also talk about how serious it was.
Yeah.
How we'd love to do it again, but it was pretty serious.
This time, hopefully, he won't slam into a tree.
Right. I don't know who I felt sorrier for, him or the tree.
The tree.
No. Well, now, look at that.
Joe enjoyed it. Joe enjoyed it. Joe enjoyed it.
I would love to have been there when that happened.
Oh, ask the little queen that went running out of the bar screaming, he killed him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, he killed him.
Yeah, this little queen was out there. It's like some, I guess it was... I can't say
somebody we used to work with.
But he goes running into the bar and runs up to the front bar and goes, oh my God, they just killed somebody on the patio. They killed him. The bar comes run. You know, the bar staff comes running out.
By the time they got up,
by the time they got out, Boy Joe was sitting up. But they were thinking, okay, there was a fight, there was a stabbing, there was a shooting. No, it was just a really good flogging scene. And the staff was like, oh, it's okay. It's just Buzz and Joe.
Yeah.
Back inside. Is he okay? Yeah, good. Get him some water. Call us if you need us, you know? But yeah, I haven't seen that little queen since. I've never seen him again. So, aftercare for, like, bondage, bondage is very much a mental trip.
So. Oh, much so.
2-3 days later, they can still have issues.
Exactly. And it's probably one of the few fetish or one of the few scenes that you can have where it will bring up recovering memories.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I mean, there's a lot of times where suddenly people come up thinking, oh, my God, well, this happened to me at one time, and this happened, and then they start working through all of their problems. And
you caused it, so you need to help them.
You got it. So you sit there and you listen to them and you talk to them. I was lucky enough to recently, about 2 weeks ago, perform a scene with a first-timer. And...
What kind of a scene?
A rope scene.
Okay.
We were over the ripcord in the outback. And it's the one thing, whenever I start working in rope, I lose all track of time. And I thought that we were only sitting for about 30 minutes. Turned out we were sitting between 45 and 50 minutes.
Cool.
And by the time I had him completely mobilized and had his DOMs involved in the scene as well, he was shaking so much that he could not hold still under any circumstances. So,
in a good way or a bad way?
Oh, in a very good way.
Okay.
In a very good way. So, managed to get him out.
So, I was going
to
say, like you said, this sometimes can bring up memories or suppressed memories, repressed memories.
Well, even after I got him out, we had him sitting down, and someone was with him for about a good 45 minutes with him, just making sure.
Just sitting there with
him. And he continued to shake the whole time. And, of course, the whole time he was going, thank you, sir, thank you, sir, thank you. Which really makes me feel good.
Okay.
I've actually seen bondage scenes where people have gone into panic attacks.
Yeah, I have too, and that's why I was asking about the shaking.
Yeah, that was actually a very big concern whenever I first saw the shaking. And from there, had to check in, make sure that he was still doing okay. When he said, yes, sir, I'm really enjoying this. That's when
the importance of negotiation, because in negotiating a scene like that, that particular bottom in that scene should have probably said something about the fact that his father used to tie him up and beat him, and that was a repressed memory for him. The minute he was immobilized, he went into a panic attack thinking that his father was tying him up and he was about to be beaten near death.
We're not talking about the one you were playing.
Oh, no.
We're talking about somebody else here.
Yeah.
This is very much possible. And you could bring up memories that people have completely repressed and don't consciously remember.
Until they get in that situation.
Until they get into it, and in the middle of a scene, they could go into a panic attack.
Okay, and again, that constitutes an emergency.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you pull them out as fast as possible.
Okay, you've been safe, now you've got to be sane.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if the situation happens where you're in a scene and they go into a panic attack, your aftercare may require you to take them home and to watch over them.
Or even to an emergency room.
That's always a last-ditch attempt, because the last thing you want to do is tell the doctor as well, you know, I had them tied up on the bar floor and...
Trust me, they've heard this story before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just get the toilet paper tube and the gerbil. Here we go.
But you always keep touch and keep contact. It's the very first thing I did. I was lucky enough that the two DOMs that had the sub were able to keep an eye out for him. And I saw him the next day and pulled him aside and said, how are you doing? Asked him about it and said that he really enjoyed it. And he said, when is the next time that we get to do this? So...
He was already rescheduling.
Oh, most definitely.
I checked my calendar, sir. I'm open.
Yeah.
The one thing that I think that I've heard in with all the people that I've heard talking about scenes and aftercare and care The one thing that I've heard that makes the most sense to me is the best scene is the one that you could have gone a little further with.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because that gives you something to look forward to the next time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, question. We've been talking all about this from the beginning, from the get-go, with Safe and Sane Fetish Play, from the bottom, and what the bottom gets out of it. What does the top get out of this? Buzz, what do you get out of it when you torture your boy? I mean, we know that he's flying on endorphins. He's getting off on it. What are you getting out of it?
Are you kidding? I'm a megalomaniac. I thrive on the power aspect.
Okay, so that's what you get out of it.
Yeah.
That's your rush.
Yep.
Okay. Robert.
Oh, it's the total complete control. Mm-hmm. It's the fact of this person is not going anywhere. And when I'm tying someone up, I'm getting off. I am getting off because it's doing so many things to them. The way that you run the rope over them, doing a little nipple play with it, maybe going around playing with her
ding-a-ling.
You can ding-a-ling. I was trying to think which word can
just
I say?
Penis.
Which
one? Penis. Be clinical.
Okay, their genital area.
Just burp, and I can scream Dick Cheney, Dick Cheney again.
It's
so you, with all of these different ways that you, with all of these different ways that you can play
Chris
with a rope.
Looking dead at you.
Chris doesn't mind.
Dick cock, Peter Schlong.
Yeah,
and pussy to rat. We love pussy, pussy, pussy to rat. She's a fabulous drag queen.
So, but with the way that you do these, whenever you're running with all of the different ways, it's. For me, it's a massive amount of control that this person is getting so much pleasure out of it.
Out of something that you're doing.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's giving you the pleasure. And then, okay, so you tie somebody up, you get in this big bondage scene, you have a great time, he's flying, you're flying, you get him untied. Is that the whole scene? Is there any actual physical sex? Or is that just the scene that you both get off?
That's just the scene.
Well, no, that's
yeah,
that depends on what you've negotiated.
But,
exactly.
But again, that's what I'm asking. When you and you get to that point, okay, let's say you only negotiated a bondage scene. By the time you get there, you're both flying. You've got your ego trip fulfilled. He's got his whatever fulfilled. Now you want something more. How are you going to renegotiate when he's flying?
In other words, okay, now it's spiritual and physical and emotional. Now it's spiritual and emotional. Are we going to get physical now?
Exactly. No. So that's what I'm saying.
That should be negotiated in advance.
But right. Is it a negotiation point with saying, no, this is all I want, but then once you get them to that point, they say, no, I want more? How are you going to listen to somebody who's flying that high?
Well, it's negotiated from the very beginning. Most of the time, if I'm in a rope scene, it's that scene alone. Mm-hmm. I am not about to go ahead and do it. But I also add other things into it, like race play. And I'll throw race play into it.
That can be fun depending on who you're with.
Oh, yeah. In fact, when I was up in Dallas not too long ago, was doing one and had a little Latino guy who I got to tie up. And actually, as I was starting to get into a little bit of suspension with him, I yelled out, pinata. So, which suddenly, if it weren't for the fact that I could see his eyes, and his eyes got really wide real fast, I just looked at him, just kidding.
Evil.
Well, that's renegotiating for a caning scene.
There you go.
Yeah, but who's going to get the cane?
Hello. I will not renegotiate a scene after somebody is already in headspace. Because at that point, they are not able to...
This was my question. This is the answer.
They are not able to rationally negotiate going further with the scene. This is why these scenes need to be negotiated in advance. How far do you want to take this? Don't wait until they're in headspace.
Right.
Before you say, okay, let's go here.
How far do you want to take this? But here's a provision. If I ask for this, this is how much further we can take it.
Right. You can make that provision, but like I say, I will not renegotiate a scene after someone is in headspace.
So keep that in mind, people, when you are negotiating a scene.
Good advice, and we've all heard it. Don't change horses in the middle of the stream.
You got it.
Really? I'm sorry, bestiality is not not a topic.
But it's so big.
Yes, it is.
But he's so... I was going to quote Ben Mittler, but I can't do
it. I actually made Robert choke.
Yeah, I don't choke, honey. I'm a golden throat. Okay.
His gag reflex has an on-off switch.
What's a gag reflex?
Oh.
Robert,
yes.
Would you negotiate a scene with a provision like that?
No. No, not from the very beginning. No, the scene, the negotiated scene is the negotiated scene, period.
And they, but they say if I get to this point and I request this, it's an option, or would you say, no, that's not an option, this is what we've negotiated despite this provision that you started with in the beginning of the negotiation?
I specifically tell them, no, that would not be, that will not be possible, because these, you can never guess how the scene is going to go.
Right.
I mean, you may think that, you may have an experienced bottom who is just, has been roped and tied up so many times and never had a bad time. One little thing can go wrong for one time. That, you know, the wind blows from the southeast and suddenly they're freaking out and they say, okay, no, now I want to get into, I want to do this. There's no way that you can adequately suggest that. So putting in those provisions, I'm not comfortable with.
I think I know where Robert's going with this. The other Robert. We have two sitting here. Negotiating a scene, negotiate a limit. It's not necessarily a matter of negotiating a provision. We're going to go into this scene. Talk to me about what your limits are for this scene, and don't go beyond them.
Exactly.
No matter how much they beg.
Exactly.
Let them beg for more. That can be another scene.
Exactly.
There you go.
Thank you.
Good. Stay tuned. Film Very 11. Good.
So, Jimmy, are you doing okay?
Yes.
I haven't seen you all night. You were here like for 5 minutes, and you just took off. I want to say, did you find a new glory hole I don't know about?
Well, I can't play the glory hole song again this week. I did it last week.
Damn.
You know, I took off last week, and it felt so good. I, you know, I'm not
you're
back.
I'm just not back
full time.
You're just not back.
No.
Okay.
No.
You don't need
to be
back.
That supposed to be a news flash?
No.
I've been sitting in the corner over there just fantasizing about your red jock strap.
Oh, yeah, I'm real, that's as Christmassy as I get. I wear a red jock this time of year, that's about it.
I thought you were wearing a yellow one.
No, that's what I, that's what I wear during Louis. No, actually, last year when I was on stage for the opening number at the Show of Shows, I was Animal, because we were doing that Muppet movie thing.
Oh, I saw.
Yeah, and I dropped down, I squatted. And the minute I squatted on stage, my jeans ripped open in the crotch.
And it was all visible.
Yeah. And thankfully, I thought, won't this be funny just in case? I'm wearing the red wig to look like Animal. I thought, I'll wear a red jock just so if anybody asks, does your underwear match your hair? I can, my jock matches. Well, thank God I was wearing the jock, because I normally don't wear anything. I'm normally commando. I'm normally commando. But I was up on stage, I thought, I better wear one just in case.
Yeah.
And Lord knows, my favorite pair of jeans with holes worn in all the right places.
Oh, yeah.
Finally said, bite me, and they split. Right on stage in the opening number, and I was wearing the red jock, so I was saved this year. And like the year with the grass skirt. When we did the grass skirt dance, and all my stuff fell out of the jock, and within 30 seconds of the number, and I'm dancing around this grass skirt, and my thing is just flapping back and forth outside the grass skirt, and everybody's going, God, we love this number!
That was the Dragon a Box number.
Yeah, that was Dragon in the Box, yeah. So when we did The Lion Sleeps Tonight, Safonda popped out of the tiki statue. Yeah.
See what happens when you don't come to Louis. Come this year.
See?
It's the 35th anniversary. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, Louis 35 is coming up in February.
Louis is all about creating memories.
Oh, yeah.
Well, memories that we can't get rid of.
I'm not going to say who that's about.
I think it was a couple years ago that we all felt the earth moving under our feet.
Yes.
Be careful that our choreographer's already working on got ours pretty well set up.
Oh
my God. I was off stage laughing so hard I doubled over.
If y'all do Nuns on the Run this year, I'm going to kill you. I'm sorry. I don't need to see the Houston Big Men's Club dressed up as nuns, okay?
Well, yeah, for anybody out there listening who has never been to Louis, you need to.
Yes.
With what we put into the costumes, we were planning on coming up with a theme of the Sisters of Perpetual Girth.
See, I told you, I knew it. And if I know Kip, he'll end up doing blackface, doing Whoopi Goldberg. You know it.
No, knowing Kip, you do blackface with whiteface over it.
Oh, so he'd be Ted Danson.
But actually, we're trying to figure out. We're trying to get another letter in there. We can't do indulgence.
Now, do Our Lady? Did you ever see Julie Brown? Dare to be truthful. Medusa. Dare to be truthful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where she did this whole scene where she goes back to her little Catholic girls' school, and it was Our Lady of Pet Your Squirrel.
Instead of, well, see, we want to get an I in the middle there so it could be Sister Pig.
Oh.
Sisters of Perpetual I Girth.
P-I-G.
Yeah.
A Perpetual...
Immense?
Immense.
Immaculate Girth.
Immaculate Girth. Ooh, good. There you go. Immaculate Girth.
Yes, so
wouldn't blackface with white face over it be Michael Jackson?
Oh, she went there.
Would that be Michael Jackson? Oh, God, well, it could be so many. Well, start with Michael, but yeah.
Well, peel off the layers.
No, you know the best one I heard.
They already have.
I don't know what show I was watching the other day. They were talking about those kids who did the.
Grab the nose and pull, the rest comes with it.
No, that kid that set that mall on fire or whatever, and...
There's a guy who shot up a mall.
No. It was some kid, he set a fire.
Out in California.
Yeah. And they said, well, what should be his punishment? This comedian said, well, he should get a one-way ticket to Michael Jackson's house.
D.L. Hughley said that on Last Laugh.
That's right. It's like I knew I was watching. I thought it was Chelsea Lately. I love Chelsea Lately. She's just vicious. I love her. But you've got to see Chelsea Lately.
I haven't yet.
Jimmy, you've got to see the show. She's hysterical. She is beyond evil. She is beyond evil. So, I love her. And her little sidekick literally is her little sidekick. He's like a little midget named Chewy. He's cute. Sorry, anyway, we're off topic here.
Yes. Welcome to Amtrak Radio. We derail easily.
We derail easily.
Yeah.
Derailed.
Why don't you give us a song and we'll be right back.
We've got the last one of you, that you've picked, and after that I'll...
Let's do it. I get
to choose again.
We'll do that one because this is a really cool electronica version of Carol of the Bells, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carol of the Bells.
He tells me number three, and that's
this is an incredible song. The album, if you can still find it, it's called The Reindeer Room. It's an incredible kind of electronica jazz Christmas album. It's just really incredible. This is the only serious album I own that's Christmas related. Enjoy.
Oop, eat.
Eat, or, something like that. Yeah, I was queuing up another song and it wasn't ready to queue. So.
We were busy.
Yeah, let's see. I played that one before.
Oh.
See, what have you highlighted in pink, and what should I not play that you highlighted in pink?
Hey. Just in pink, dear.
I played What Price Glory last week, but
did
you weren't
you
here. Yeah. What's the one that has anal? The song is called Anal Sex.
My music next. That song. What happened to that song? It didn't just. Come
I didn't
out
have
like
it.
That.
No, it did. It finished.
Yeah.
Your song finished. I didn't cut it.
Okay.
I don't believe in cut.
No.
We're busy embarrassing one of the guests of the show here.
Who are you embarrassing? Don't you embarrass Merlin?
No, not Merlin.
Oh, the other one.
The
oh, how are you embarrassing? You find naked photos online? Let me see.
I want to say.
Oh, no, he sent us here. Oh.
No.
Who's got pictures?
No.
Why?
He sent
no.
Him.
No.
We've got
let's see.
Okay,
no.
Who doesn't have naked pictures on the internet? Let's show of hands. Who doesn't?
No, I don't.
Really? You don't have the internet.
It's like,
we can fix that really quick.
I'm
my digital camera next.
Duh.
Who wants to see this?
Excuse me. I'm pure and clean. I don't have
Jimmy,
any on
baby,
there.
I can.
Liar!
Jimmy, I can take your head and put it on like Tom Selleck's body if you want to. You know, whoever. Brad.
He wishes he could have his head on Tom Selleck's body.
Brad. Well, no, he wants his head in Tom Selleck's crotch, but not on his body.
The next time you tell a lie like that, warn me in advance so I can get out of the blast range when the lightning bolt hits.
Merlin, I'm putting you on Delta Burke, I swear. You're a design. No, you'd have to be Dixie Carter. Your personality is very Dixie Carter.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think
now get the hell out.
Should have a Julia Sugar Baker in it.
Oh Lord.
After all, they did one of my favorite. In my, one of
oh,
my
I
favorite.
Had to bring up designing women. Now it's going to be.
There you go. After all, this is the woman who's, you know, famous for being called the Julianator.
Julianator. I'm not going to say a word. I'm not going to say a word. I'm not going to say a word. Hi, welcome back to Leather Tie.
Yay!
Yay! We were discussing all of my tattoos earlier, so.
Yeah.
Robert actually recognized what one of my tattoos meant, so thank you.
Oh,
glad
one?
You caught that.
Yeah,
woohoo!
Which one?
This one up here.
Oh, no.
The one on my leg.
Oh, I'll see it after the.
Sorry, I'm wearing shorts right now, so it's, you know, it's we're December, it's Christmas, and it's 84 degrees outside. Yay!
Dang.
Dreaming of a white Christmas, that's all you're going to get is a dream of a white Christmas.
It's not Christmas in Houston if you're not putting your lights up with your shorts off.
Yeah. It ain't Christmas in Houston if you ain't laying by the pool getting a suntan. Yeah.
I was chatting with some guy in San Diego earlier, and he was saying it's cold. I said, yeah, we had cold 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. It lasted for about a day.
Yeah. And yeah. I said, well, how cold was it? Well, it was cold enough that we could turn off the air conditioners and open the windows.
Yeah. It got all the way down to like 60 for the high. 60,
yeah.
65 for the high.
I felt like
freezing.
At work, I felt like I was working in an Asian laundromat because I had all the doors open. And yep. I'm back in an area that
I
doesn't
mean, ask
get
him where do you Calgon, take me away.
Tomball.
Calgon secret.
Ancient Chinese secret.
Unfortunately,
ancient
Chinese secret. Yeah, that's what that's.
Unfortunately, I'm the one employee who's not in an area that gets the direct breeze going through the store. I'm in the stagnant corner that's hidden in there.
The sweatshop.
Yeah. And they want to know no, he's the one who actually works in the sweatshop.
No,
the token white boy.
I don't work in the sweatshop. I got a nice air conditioned office, baby. I do. So, we are talking about bondage and electro play. Captain Electro, that's what I'm going to call Buzz from now on, is Captain Electro. Because Buzz is not here to defend himself at the moment. Hi, Captain Electro. I mean, Master Buzz. How are you?
Well, I did steal his earphones.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you stole his earphones. Get his earphones back to them, man. You want to get your own earphones version. So, we have been talking about all different kinds of leather fetishes and leather play and safe and sane consensual play, negotiating scenes. I'll plug you in. Bend over.
Are you plugged in?
There we go. I don't hear anything.
Bummer. He doesn't hear anything. Now if we could only find the ball gag. So,
funny you should mention that. I just happen to have one right here.
Good for you.
I'm going to start packing mine around to threaten people with it.
Well, I mean, I don't really have a ball gag, but I have two balls that can gag.
Oh, hello.
So, Oh, what are you oohing? You've seen.
Eight or Q.
Huh?
Eight or Q.
I was talking about the danglers, okay? So, I want to thank Robert Helms, Sir Robert Helms, President of the National Leather Association Houston, for being here this evening.
Appreciate
talking
it.
About his favorite fetish, bondage, and rope, 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 rope,
rope, rope, rope, rope.
Who invited you in here anyway? For
I say we use him as a demo. I got jumper cables, and we'll find someone with rope and do the electric and tie
wire.
Him
wire
on.
Will work.
Wire
will work.
We can use these cables from the headphones.
I don't live too far away, and I've got about 300 feet of rope.
Yeah. And
tie him out to the tree. We'll get some jumper cables in here. And
well, if you're going to do that, then get the floggers, too. Then
oh,
we
yes.
can see if we can make a tree hugger out of him.
I'll bring all five of mine, and I know Robert's got a few as well.
Yeah, I'll bring mine. I'll bring my rope flogger just to piss you off.
Oh, I love that thing.
Don't you love that rope flogger?
Oh, God, I love that. I adore that.
I could bring my dressage whip,
I have this incredible rope flogger that is in the Leather Pride colors. It's really cool. Well, it's the blue, white, and black. You get the red after you hit him a few times. It's some nice red marks.
I've got a Latigo flogger that'll do that, too.
Ooh, nice. Latigo. Explain to people what Latigo
is. That was a
is.
Present from the man on the other side of the table from me.
Great. What did I get? A bag of Lay's potato chips.
Hello.
Well, you know, I like potato chips.
I thought you just liked them.
There you go. Quickly, let's talk about floggers. Explain what a Latigo flogger is.
It's a Latigo, hot flogger.
Latigo is the leather that saddles and most boots are made from. It is a very stiff leather.
It's a stiff, thick, hard leather.
Arr.
Most floggers, what you call like a warm-up flogger.
A deer or an elk. It's a really soft leather.
Soft, light, thin leather.
And I prefer those with a lot of falls, like 40 to 50 falls on them, so they give a good thud whenever they hit.
Yeah.
A deep tissue massage flogger.
Yeah, that's what we call them a massage flogger, because you can't really hurt anybody. It just feels really good. It feels like a massage. It's really
the
incredible.
Most you're going to raise is a real good sting.
Yeah. Yeah. But it does really work the muscles well, and you really do feel relaxed after a good massage flog. So, you know. So, we got massage floggers, deer, elk,
I've got a deer tan.
Your Latigo, deer tan.
Deer tan, a bullhide, a Latigo. I've got one that has 21 half-inch wide suede falls.
Suede is evil.
That was a bruiser.
Suede, it feels so soft and loving and gentle in your hands until you get hit with it. Damn. Yeah, that's good stuff. Okay, floggers.
Oh, the most evil flogger I know of is the ball chain flogger.
Yes.
What do y'all think about these plastic or rubber floggers?
Different sensation. I wouldn't use one.
I've used it one time, and it's not my style. I don't care for it. I know several people who swear by them, but it's just not my thing.
They're really extreme.
Yeah.
Rubber is really extreme.
It will flay skin.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely for hardcore people, but you just don't...
Depend on the gauge of rubber as well. I mean, I've seen some rubber floggers that are really mild, but then you get the ones that are made from pretty much tire rubber.
Yeah. Well, obviously, those are really for hardcore pain pigs. Just like the chain. I've seen the chain link.
Yeah, the ball chain flog. That's for people who are into blood sport.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And we covered that. We covered blood sports already. Look, the entire booth is empty. Quick, let's lock the doors and keep Chris out. Where did Chris go?
Oh. Chris go.
Where did Chris go?
Potty break.
Where did Chris go? Aisle 7.
Chris is in the potty. Chris, what are you doing?
In the potty. Oh, wasn't that a Butch leather?
He had to go tinkle.
He had to go tinkle.
Let me go make pee pee.
Oh, there's a little guy in a room over there with he keeps his mouth open really wide. I just had to go in there and have a yellow hanky moment myself.
Kirby, he was just joking.
Okay, the little guy was made of porcelain, okay?
Oh, so you were joking. No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. NLA Toy Drive, just to rehash the Toy Drive. NLA Houston is doing a Toy Drive now through the 22nd.
Beginning tomorrow afternoon.
The Toy Drive is benefiting Thomas Street Clinic. All of the toys that you give from toddler all the way up to age 17, what's appropriate for kids, make sure it's a new toy, wrapped toy. If it's a stuffed animal, please make sure it doesn't stink like cigarette smoke or any other kind of smoke. Toy boxes will be set up at pretty much all the local area bars and businesses, going from the Ripcord, Decade, 611, George's, Tony's, Chances,
BRB,
Blackhawk, In-N-Out, EJ's, Decades, I said I already, yep. I think mm-hmm. I said Decades. They're going to be up all over the place. Look for the NLA toy boxes. Donate. Give these toys. They are for kids that really need it and will really enjoy it. Chris has got it.
Oh, okay.
The phone is ringing. Well, that's what Buzz is pointing at the blinky light. Okay.
It's oh, look. Pretty.
Shiny blinky things.
Chris is done with his tinkle. Oh.
If you sprinkle in your tinkle, be sweet and lightlessly.
You never heard that?
I think your microphone's about to be cut off in a moment.
Gentlemen, stand closer. It's shorter than you think.
You keep in mind, Buzz said that I won't invite him back just for saying that about you.
Ladies, please remain seated throughout entire performance.
No, because I have seen his photos. He's nicely hung, okay? Very nicely hung.
Praise be Photoshop.
Praise the Photoshop.
Don't you love that enlarger tool? Don't you wish it worked in real life? Actually, what I just do is I cheat. I use the cloning tool.
I don't need to know this. Yeah. I really don't. All you had to do was say, no, it's just the angle.
Wait a minute. Who brought up sheep?
Cloning tool. Oh.
Stevie Nicks in the house.
Oh, stop.
Okay.
I'm sorry. There was no one here with a yellow hanky to service.
Oh.
So I had to leave the room.
Oh, they don't have to have the hanky. You just have to ask.
Stay yeah. I'm sure there's enough yellow hankies floating around here.
Hey, boy, you thirsty?
Well, Robert is.
Well, look, and he's wearing yellow. Look, he walks in the and he's wearing yellow.
He walks
yellow
in wearing yellow.
He's like, what are y'all talking? No, I think I don't want to be here.
Run away!
Lovely shade of red.
Yeah, it is. Now he's yellow and red hanky.
Hello.
Like the days of the old meat rack.
Okay.
Not that I would know anything about that. I've heard stories.
Chris, save us. This is kidding.
I think we're beyond being saved.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is. 'Tis the season, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So now
if you had your ultimate toy, Buzz, if you had your ultimate... kinky fetish fun toy.
Okay, what so now we're back want? To the adult toys. We went from kids' toys to adults to kids to adults.
No, we've done the kids' toys. NLA Toy Drive. Donate.
Do it before the 22nd.
22nd. All the boxes go away, and the kids have a fantastic Christmas, so please help out with that. Do what you can. Buzz, for adults, your favorite toy, your wish list toy list. What would be your top... toy.
Who needs to wish? I've got the best slave in North America. Okay. What more could I want?
What toy would you love to have to use on him? Are we talking a tens unit? Folsom?
Oh, anybody who's looking to buy me a Christmas gift?
No.
I'm making my
I'm
list.
I'm saying, what would be your ultimate toy to play with all the time on your boy, on your slave?
I'd like to own a violet wand. I have access to one that I can borrow, but I'd really like to own my own.
So
a Folsom unit would be nice, too, so if you're looking up for stocking stuffers.
I don't think
but I'm bumped.
Shameless plug.
Shameless isn't here. She's out of town.
No, oh, I agree there. 100% with Master Buzz. I want a violet wand, too.
So your top,
oh,
top toy...
Violet wand.
Okay, let's run down the top toys for Leatherman this year. For this shopping holiday season, the top five toys for Leatherman should be... We're not going to do the Dave Letterman thing. Number
I already
one
have five
would be,
vlogs I don't need anymore.
Are we talking... Now, are you talking a violet wand? Are we talking 10 unit? What would be your
ooh,
choice?
I would love a single tail.
A single tail.
A single tail whip. I'd love a nice little 6 foot. A nice little 6 foot.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say 4 foot, 6 foot, or 8 foot.
Six foot. I can't handle the eight. I've tried the eight. Six is a good one for me.
The first one I tried was an eight.
6 foot single tail sounds good to me.
6 foot single tail is perfect. I would like a 4 foot only because that way I can use it indoors because my ceilings aren't that high.
No, mine aren't either, and I don't have enough room to throw a bullwhip that far.
As crowded as my apartment is, I can't even do a flogging in my apartment. I have to do it outside, but that's okay.
Well, you could flog with like
the neighbors.
He can flog with like half a shoestring.
He does it on the lanai.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have. Actually,
you have a perfect patio for.
Oh, yes. People driving by. I'm surprised that there haven't been any accidents in front of our apartment.
Ooh, Fable you know the tail. Toy that I really want?
Oh, here we go, here we go.
Oh, I want that dragon's tail that Mistress Elizabeth has.
Oh, yes.
Oh, what, God. That brown it's, one? The purple one?
The purple one.
Yeah. Oh, the purple one's incredible. Oh. It's a suede.
Yes.
It's suede.
Yeah, it's a felt suede.
Yeah, it's a felt suede dragon.
Is that the one she just got at last, Louis?
No, she's had it for a while. She's had it for a while.
It's really well broken in. For people who don't know what a dragon's tail is, it's a piece of suede that is rolled. It's pretty much cut into a diamond shape, so when you roll it, you get this beautiful long point on it.
Oh.
It comes to like a diamond tip. You want to talk about stinging fun.
Oh, I remember when Elizabeth used that on you last year.
Yeah, she did.
And it leaves this wonderful little S mark when it pops you.
Yeah.
Well, that depends on how she throws it.
Yeah, well, no, she actually tried to write her name out. She tried to write her name on my butt, on my ass.
She
got as far as the E-L-I, and I was like, thank you.
She drew little X's on my back. All over my back.
No, she just came up to me, and she goes, "Robert." I go, "What?" She goes, "Drop them. I need to hit an ass." hit your partner. What are you hitting me for? No, she's sore from last night. I need a new ass. I was like, with what? And she shows me this dragon tail. I said, okay, I'll try that. That could be fun. At least now I know what it feels like. So when I throw it, I know what I'm doing, and I know what it feels like. And
they're actually easy to throw, too.
Oh, yeah.
They really are. They're dragon lightweight.
Dragon tail is a lot of fun. Single tail bullwhip is one of the hardest things to learn. Mm-hmm. Master Rich and I, after last Tuesday, we were out on the back patio of the ripcord, and he was showing me his technique, and I realized I've been throwing a bullwhip wrong. No wonder I was having so many problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like I said, you find somebody who knows, you ask, you learn, you watch, you have them teach you.
You practice. Practice on inanimate things.
Yeah, it was really incredible. What are you digging out of the bag in there, Chris?
Oh, no, it's our special closing song during December.
Okay. Oh, we have a special closing song.
Yes.
Good. So, Buzz, he keeps changing his mind. First, he wants
I'm going through the list.
You asked us for the top 10 list.
Well, five. Okay, I don't think we'd have time for 10. Five. So, we've got a bullwhip, a single tail bullwhip, a dragon tail whip,
Folsom unit, violet wand.
Well, let's say electro toys, either a Folsom, tens, or.
Oh, no, 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 they're two different things.
Both deliver different things.
The full Folsom set. A full Folsom set.
Yes, okay. With all the attachments.
Now, the twisted part, I only know about the 10s from having to go to Wikipedia to find out what in the hell it was.
Okay, a Folsom unit
is the 10s part. Okay, because I've seen videos of it.
Okay. Uh-huh. A Folsom unit is a 10s unit times 10.
Ah,
times 10.
It's the same type of device, 10 times more powerful and more versatile.
Yeah. And it comes with a lot more attachments and toys to play with.
Yeah, buddy.
Yes.
What about a vac rack? What do you think of a vac rack?
I want the cube.
Oh yeah.
The Lone Star Rubber Corps have this incredible cube. I need to get a hold of these guys. This cube, it's about, 3 foot by 3 foot cube.
Three and a half, maybe 4 foot.
Yeah, no, I think it's at max 3 foot. It's a three foot cube.
It's a 3 foot cube that is completely enclosed in rubber, and there's just basically one hole that you crawl into, and then there's an attachment down at the very bottom where they hook up a hose and they suck all the air out, so you're suspended in this cube.
Yeah, you crawl into the tube and put your head through a slit in the latex. They zip it up and suck out all the air, and then turn it over.
And then you just kind of
completely
float.
Suspended.
You're just floating.
In latex.
It feels so cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
The only reason I had him take me out of it is because my leg got a cramp.
But again, that would be an incredible toy, but I would go through so many vacuum cleaners on that reverse. Just suck out all the air. You know. Or you'd have to go down and get one of those industrial suckers from Home Depot or something. But does it come with... If it comes with the vacuum, yeah.
Yeah, they use a power vacuum with
theirs. And when I'm not using it, put a piece of glass on it, it's a coffee table.
There you go.
It's perfect. Dinette table.
Leave somebody in it.
Yeah. if you have not seen this rubber cube, it's the most incredible thing. I know NLA Houston during Spring Iniquity in April, they'll be doing the Den of Iniquity, I'm sure.
There's actually a picture of the cube on the NLA site.
Yeah, go to NLAHoustonTX.org. And go into the galleries, you'll see pictures of this cube that we're talking about, this Rubik's Cube, and it's got people, like, suspended in it.
I think the picture that's on the website has Vince in it.
I think it's, yeah.
No, it's got Wolfpup.
Wolfpup.
Oh, okay.
Wolfpup is in it.
Yeah, that would be a nice one to have.
But yeah, if you look at this cube, you'll see what we're talking about. It is one of the coolest toys, and there's so many things you can do with it. Because once you've got them in there, then you can spank, flog, whatever you want to them.
Tickle.
Yeah, tickling, yeah.
Ice.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
Yeah. So, back rack or cube?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Well,
back rack or cube? I'll go with the cube.
I'll go with the back rack.
I want the cube.
I'll take the rack.
I want the cube only because I need a new dinette table as well. And it will double beautifully. And just think, you can put your boy in it, vacuum him out, put a piece of glass on top, and not only do you have a dinner for four or five that you can have sitting around, you've got live entertainment in the table.
Hello.
See, I like the rack because basically it looks like Han Solo encased in carbonite.
Yeah.
And then you just take it, then you hang it up.
Yeah. I have been in one of those. Those are incredible. But if I have my druthers, I want the cube. I don't want the rack. So that's four. What's our fifth must-have toy? You want it?
Okay,
no,
we'll
you
over.
Want it ultraviolet wand, Folsom
unit.
Dragon tail, single tail. Oh, that's five. And the cube. Oh,
damn.
Okay.
And the rack.
Well, okay. Vacuum attachment.
See, we
toy.
Can go to 10. We can make 10.
Okay, 10. Okay, 10. That's 6. The cube and the vac rack. Give me another one.
What don't I have?
Or what do you need to replace?
Okay.
Oh, no, I take good care of my toys. Replace. What do you mean?
Okay. Oh, please. How many clothespins have you gone through?
Okay. Give me a couple hundred clothespins.
Okay, we also need some... those are cool toys. Now let's talk about stocking stuffers. Clothespins, clamps.
Sling.
A sling. No, that's a big
pinwheel.
No, we don't call them...
It depends on your stocking.
We don't call them slings. We call them sweater dryers when the family visits. What is that? It's a sweater dryer. So you put it down and lay out your sweater.
A block and tackle.
A block and tackle.
I need a block and tackle.
Okay, explain to people what a block and tackle is.
Oh, please. Who doesn't know what a block and tackle is?
A block and tackle is basically a pulley system.
I don't even know what that is.
A block and tackle is basically a pulley system.
Actually, what you mean is a hoist, which includes a block and tackle.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I just need the block and tackle piece.
two pulleys that actually create leverage, so you can pull one rope and pull up several so that you can... Put a heavy weight on something and
like a human
with one
being.
Rope very easily lift it.
Uh huh. Suspend them.
For a suspension blade.
And for a long time I kept calling them bait and tackle.
Okay. And you kept wondering why you got little fishing flies.
Honey, if it smells like that, you need to wash it.
I always think you bait and tackle is then throw the bait out, wait for someone to grab it, then tackle them and grab it. You're mine now.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it.
Please don't.
Okay.
I would love a new set of knives. So, yeah.
Are we talking Ginsu or are you having knife play?
No, we're talking knife play.
Knife play.
Knife play knives, yes. Sounds.
I've got my bayonet.
I would love to get that set of the sounds with the little egg on the end.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
I've seen those.
A sound is a urethra play toy, but they have these sounds that it's just a thin...
It has a rosebud at the
thin
end.
Thin bar, and it's got a little rosebud about, and they come in different sizes and thicknesses, but it kind of looks like a little egg. Rosebud's wrong descriptor, I think.
I think that's what it's called, though.
Yeah, I know that's what it's called, but it doesn't look like a rosebud. Yeah. I mean, if it was shaped like a rose, that would really hurt going in.
Ow.
Okay. You know, think of a rose, an open rose made out of metal, being thrust into your urethra. Not fun.
Okay.
Screw the roses, give me the thorns.
Well, that's what you would get. and then you'd be pissing blood for about 3 weeks, and then your wang would fall off.
Ow.
Yeah, so let's call them eggs, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, eggs are smooth.
Oh, I like the stainless steel eggs.
Yeah.
The big ones.
Oh, you're talking about the Benoit eggs.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh, the remote control.
Sorry, pool balls are cheaper.
Right. The remote control shocking cock rings.
Oh, yeah, those are really cool, yeah. Now, that is a toy that I want. That's a serious toy that I want.
Well, you can get one of those that goes with the Folsom unit, too.
This is a cock ring.
Oh, no, I want a wireless.
No, they're remote control.
The one
control
that you put on your boys' balls and you push the button.
Yeah.
That says, sir, needs you now.
Uh-huh. Those are cool toys.
There's also one I've seen lately, the Aneros. It's a prostate stimulator. It's actually a medical device.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like, that's where this this remote control cock ring came from. The idea, I'm assuming, came from that. It is a cock ring with a metal band in it.
No, not this one.
And it's a radio. No, but I'm saying that's what we're talking about.
Oh. No,
you
Robert.
You wear like a
that's not
band.
Where that came from. That came from the electric dog collar, and somebody decided to play with it.
Yes, you're right. You're right. It came from the dog collar. You are right.
The remote control dog collar.
You're right. Yep. And they started putting that on people, so they started making smaller versions. And basically, you can put it on somebody, and you carry a little remote around with you, and when you want their attention, you just click the remote, and it gives them a good shock. And it's like, what, 30 feet? Up to 30 feet?
Oh, no, you can get them up to 500.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, now I really have to have one.
The difference in our world, the difference between a tool and a toy is the imagination.
The difference between a tool and a toy is about 400 feet. But I think it's probably time we should wrap up. Now we've got our top 10.
Yep.
So thank you again, NLA Houston, for coming in talking about the toy drive.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Robert and Buzz, Master Buzz, Sir Robert, coming in and finishing out my series on Safe and Sane Fetish Play with Bondage and Electro. Thank you, Verge, for crashing the party as usual. We love you for it.
I say you just need to tie him up one of these days. Do an on-air demo.
Okay, next
I know
time,
he's more than willing.
Next time I come, I will bring rope.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, where can we put him? There's nowhere we can tie. We just hog tie him, put a ball gag in his mouth, and throw him on the floor, and just stick a microphone to hear him moan.
There you go.
I think we can ask him to set up the microphone that we do when we do Fun Drive out in the lobby.
Ooh.
And there's the post there.
Well, if we're going to do that, I'm going to put that microphone somewhere else. Okay.
Oh, we'll tie him down to the table.
I'll put it in a condom first. It's not a problem.
We talked about having a show about that, you know, A Day in the Life of a Dildo. And we were going to use a microphone, and he turned...
Look at Jimmy.
Jimmy turned around with this evil, hot death look.
He nixed the idea of the show. It wasn't my idea. It was Kalupa.
What is that, a pickled breadstick?
Look at you.
What did I turn down?
You turned down the Day in the Life of a Dildo show.
Scott. Yeah, you did, because Scott wanted to take a microphone, put a condom on it, and find a willing subject to...
Wear it all day?
Let it go up there during the show.
Oh, yes, I did mix that.
Oh. Yeah, because every time their stomach grumbles, I really don't need that interrupting the sentence.
But you know what? I just thought of something.
It'd be fun if they wore some of those jingly Benoit balls in there first, so every time that they moved, you hear this jingle, jingle, jingle.
Robert.
What?
January, the yes. Second week of January?
Yeah.
He's not gonna be here.
Oh, Jimmy, damn, we will miss you. Plug his ears real quick. Yeah.
Just a second. Look at the knob.
We're going to have a dildo day. Okay, no. You know what? You bring all your dildos, I'll bring all mine. We'll compare sizes.
Jimmy suddenly got that look on his face like,
do you want to be the host? You already know I'm going to win on that one just from bringing that fist, that rubber fist from last
Yeah, time. And I surprised everybody was showing it in action the next week.
Not a big deal. Like I said, if I were shy, I wouldn't put stuff on the internet.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Go to bed.
I mean, I've had my own homepage for 10 years. I've got a lot of kinky stuff on there. Okay?
Oh, some of the videos are good.
Oh, yeah, I'm good at what I do, baby. And the stuff that I'm bad at, you never see because I delete those clips.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert T., your host. And we will see you next time when we have Leather Ties and Jimmy's out of town. We're going to have a day with a dildo.
As we end our show every week in December.
Yes.
With our Christmas music. We pick play a particular song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those songs. It'd be nice that when we can play it during the beginning of the show.
Yeah, sure.
But we leave it as a last thought for you. John did it first, but since we haven't confirmed the rumors,
no,
we have to play Melissa's version. So it's Happy Christmas, War is Over. And we'll be back next week.
Oh, this is Christmas. So what have you done? So this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young. Have a merry, merry Christmas and a happy new year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear. So, this is Christmas, but we call for strong. The rich and the poor ones, the road is so long.
Spirit is easy to catch when you're amongst friends. On Saturday, December 22nd, you, your friends, and your friends that you haven't met yet are all invited to a very special gathering. A Very Jerry Christmas is a KPFT benefit not to be missed. The Tune Poets, Guy Schwartz and the New Jack Hippies, the Psychedelos, the Hightailers, and Opie Hendrix will have you dancing all night. This event takes place at Dan Electro's Guitar Bar, 1031 East 24th Street in the Heights, just south of the North Loop and east of North Main. Discounted tickets
Tickets are available at kpft.org or at the door. Doors at 6, music starts at 7. A Very Jerry Christmas is a Dead Air production, so what can go wrong? We'll see you Saturday, December 22nd for the holiday party of the year. KPFT, Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.